Blog Talk Radio.
The Boxing Fix.
What's going on, everybody? It's your host and fellow boxing addict, Josh McDaniel. Welcome to another episode of The Boxing Fix. We're back after being gone last week. We had to take a break. I was busy with some previous engagements. And, we're coming back and we're coming back strong. Kind of a slow weekend, but not, you know, we got some stuff going on. We also have stuff we can talk about from last week, too. Man, I'm excited, but one thing is, today, we're not going to have my regular co-host, Emily Pondolakis, the PR superstar. She's actually busy doing, like, charity work for a certain thing out there in Arizona. I think it's called Andre's House. So she's taking care of that. She's doing that. But I will have a little co-host. He's a good guy. He knows his boxing. He's a writer. He also is the co-host for Punches and Bunches. If you listen to that great show, Ron Valderrama. Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ron. How are you doing, man?
Doing good. We had some shows down here in Phoenix, and you're right, it's been kind of a slow week, but got some boxing coming up this weekend, though.
Oh, yeah, and I'm excited for that. And I know that you were at the Iron Boy Boxing Promotion card, right?
Yeah, we were. Tony and I both were there, and it was a pretty good little scrap.
Nice. We're going to get into that because I was looking for results on it on BoxRec, and for some reason I couldn't find it right away. So that's why it's even better that you were there. You can even tell everyone and myself firsthand how the experience was in the fight and how everything went. So I heard there was a card, or I also heard there was a fight on there that was quite a like barn burner. Like they're just going at it.
Yeah, there was. There was a couple of barn burners on there. That was a pretty cool fight. The Thomas Valdez fight and then the other main event, Chris Lopez fight, was pretty good too. So, we'll chop it up whenever you're ready on it. So, it's cool.
Yeah, nice. Now, I'm just going to go in and get into what we call here the boxing blitz and just going to recap about some of the fights over the weekend. So, we had over on Saturday on October 6th, Central, over in Mexico. Adrian Hernandez defeated by knockout in the sixth round over, excuse my language because I can't say it, Compayat Porfamroot. I'm horrible with these names. But Adrian Hernandez goes ahead and retains the WBC light flyweight title by knockout in the sixth round. Over in Puerto Rico, the fights that's pretty interesting. Moises Fuentes got the minimum title, the WBO minimum title by not TKOing in the fifth round. Yvonne Calderon, the veteran. Pretty interesting fight there. We're going to talk about that more later on. Hopefully, if Ron saw that, he can give in and put it on his take, too. Also on that card from the Super Bantamweight division with a vacant WBO International Super Bantamweight title, Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. Defeated Jonathan Oquendo by the KO in the seventh round. Another interesting fight. Oquendo looked pretty good in the beginning, and then Vasquez turned it up and ended up knocking him out in the seventh round. Also, on the undercards of those two cards for the WBO Latino lightweight title, man, there's so many titles nowadays. Jose Gonzalez defeated Oscar Cuello by first round KO. It was scheduled for 10. Didn't even get past the first round. That was for the lightweight Latino title. Victor Bisbal defeated Alex Gonzalez by TKO in the sixth round. And Israel Vasquez, and not the Israel Vasquez that you might be thinking of, moves his record to 7-0, defeating Desmond Correa by unanimous decision. That was a little six-round banger over there in Puerto Rico. Nice little Puerto Rican card out there. Also, yesterday at the Sports Palace in Kiev, Ukraine, Zarbek Bison Gurul defeated Lucas Cassini by a unanimous decision, went the distance. Pretty decent fight out there. That was a light middleweight fight. Let's see. Also, in Sacramento, what to me was probably one of the best fights I saw this weekend. Yoshihiro Kamigal and Jorge Silva went to a majority draw. Man, Jorge Silva, was my first time seeing him fight. I think he was his first American fight, and we'll talk more about that. That was a hell of a fight. I'm impressed by Silva. I would love to see these two get it on again, and I want to see more of Silva, definitely. On the undercard there, too, Jorge Linares is trying to bounce back after getting knocked the hell out twice. He defeated Hector Velasquez by unanimous decision in the 10-rounder. Jorge is back training now in Tokyo or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know, I'm not too impressed by him. I don't even know what to expect. We all know that he's exposed, so we'll talk about that more later. Prospect that I'm up on, and we'll have a prospect, two prospects later on the show today from Top Rank. I'm not even going to say it right now. I'll say it. Abby Hahn and Jennifer Hahn, we'll be calling them a little bit later, so we'll do an interview with them. But another prospect that I'm up on from California, Hugo Santino Jr., Hugo Boss, defeated Justin Williams by unanimous decision in the 6-round banger. Hopefully Hugo starts stepping up competition, though, because I think he's very talented and he shouldn't be fighting guys with a record of 4-5 yet. So. And another entertaining fighter, last time I saw him was on Showbox against Joel Diaz Jr. Guy Robb defeated Adolfo Landeros by a 6-round unanimous decision. See. Oh, okay, and not to mention, let's see, in Pomona, California, Kalisha West defeated Christina Ruiz by a 10-round unanimous decision for the vacant IFBA International Female Boxing Association Super Bantamweight title. That's a long name for a title. So shout out to Kalisha West. You know, I don't know, Ron, what do you think, man? What's with all these titles and these damn names, man?
You know, honestly, I can't even keep up with all of them, and it's kind of like a little bit of incentive, but for me, for a boxing head or whatever, I just like to see good boxing. So I don't really pay a lot of attention to the title on the guest, but you just want to keep up with what you think about it.
Yeah, definitely. It is just way too many. I challenge anyone to remember every single title that's out there. I really would love to see if someone could do that. also on that. That would be incredible. Also on that card in the bantamweight division, Sean Nichols lost to Michael Ruiz Jr. 6-round unanimous decision. Xavier Montelongo had a split. I think it was a split draw there for against Carlos Morales. Catarina de la Cruz lost to Blanca Raimundo, and I guess you could say that was a bit of an upset. Blanca never won a fight out of 7 professional fights. That was her 8th fight. She got her first win. So shout out to Blanca Raimundo. But Katarina wasn't the elite of the elite either, though. I mean, she only has 2 wins, you know, herself. But at least someone got a win.
Was this the card that was Sean Mosley's promotion company was doing this one?
Yeah, I think this was the Knockout Cancer or something like that Mosley was putting on.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And to round that card off in the middleweight division, Javier Abanica defeated Brian Brooks by 2nd-round KO. And, again, I mean, you could tell this card was just, you know, more for entertainment, and Kalisha West was the, you know, main event. Because Javier Abanica, his record is, well, now it's 5-1, but he defeated a guy who was 0-8-1. So I kind of see how that card went. But I think it was more for a charity type thing. So shout out to Mosley for, you know, doing his thing out in Pomona still, you know, getting his retirement on. Speaking of retirement, we're going to talk about some fights from last week, which I need to eat my words, because I think I said it on your show, Ron, on Punches and Bunches. I said Victor Chinian, and we're going to be giving him his gold watch and the little hat and cigar and celebrate his retirement. And, I will eat my words later on the show.
We all ate words last week, so you're not alone.
The 2 other fights, you know, I just want to quick mention. In Springfield, Missouri, cruiserweight BJ Flores defeated David McNamara by a second round KO in a 10 rounder. And this is the one I'm going to, and you're probably going to laugh at this, Ron. I don't know. Emily brought this up 2 weeks ago to me on the show. And what is to be a tune-up fight for his fight he wants against Roy Jones Jr.? Kevin Ferguson defeated Howard Jones by first-round KO in the four-rounder. If you don't know who Kevin Ferguson is, Kevin Ferguson is the man, the myth, the legend, Kimbo Slice. I want to talk about this a little bit later on the show. I think it's an interesting topic, Kimbo versus Roy Jones Jr. And Kimbo saying that Howard Jones, in a four-rounder, by the way, four-rounder, is a tune-up for Roy Jones. I don't know. Yeah, and that's the rest of the boxing list. And this show's already getting started with the funny stuff, because I think that's, like, the best, funniest thing I've ever heard in my life with Kimbo's life. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we'll talk about it later. If we get on it now, I might talk about it the whole show. But right, that's it for now. Did you get a chance, Ron, to watch the Puerto Rican fight, the Moises Fuentes and Ivan Calderon?
No, I haven't watched any boxing yet because Friday night I was stuck doing the weigh-ins, and then of course Saturday we had fights and everything. So I was kind of like starting to watch videos today, but man, I ended up taking a long ass nap, so I'm like way behind now.
No, well, you know, this is what I want to do, actually. You know, since we did the boxing list and I gave everyone the results out there. You know, like I said, I didn't get any of the results for the Iron Board. So why don't you tell everybody about the card and some of the fights, if you can?
Well, started off with one really good fight in the crowds. That was really good. But they had it under control pretty quick, but it was a pretty good little scrap. But, action all the way around, and in the co-main event, it was Thomas Balbelis and Jesus, I can't ever say his name, Agnuica or something like that, but he was 0-0, you know, and Thomas Balbelis went in going in with three wins, and this Thomas Balbelis, man, everyone's really high up on him. He's a really good fighter, and I don't know if he was just having an off night or not, but this kid Jesus just lit him up. I mean, they were locking it up, and he was just nonstop. And Valdez ended up losing that fight by decision. And, I mean, this kid Jesus, I don't know who he is, but I'll tell you what, in Arizona, he's going to be on everybody's radar. This kid just rocks, man. He's just, from the start of the bell, man, he's just nonstop action, just punch, 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 and pretty good little kid, man. Had some pretty good movement and everything. And then the main event, it was Diamond Bear, who was 2-2-1, who went up against another Valley favorite, Chris Lopez. And he was 4-0. And that one was really a good scrap also. And Chris Lopez got dropped in the first round on that fight by, I believe it was like a right hook. I couldn't see it all because I was kind of sitting behind one of the judges. But it was just a good scrap. I mean, it was just toe-to-toe action the whole way. They were just punching and moving, and it was good. But Chris Lopez ended up winning that fight. Pretty close, 38-37, I think, on all the judges' cards were on that, scorecards or whatever. But that was a really good fight. On the undercards, it was Corey Muldrew against Victor Castro. And Corey Muldrew is 0-1, and Victor Castro's got a record of 6-0. Victor pretty much lit him up on that fight, too. He's struggling a little bit, sort of found his way, but ended up pulling out the win on that one. And then, see, the other undercard was Carlos Castro, he's 1-0, took on Adrian Gonzalez, who's 0-2-1. And that was a pretty good little scrap, too. They were chasing back and forth, and of course, Carlos won that one. The one bout that I was expecting to be the sleeper fight of the night was Paul Romero, who's 1-0, against Jenson Ramirez, who's 2-1-1. And Jenson Ramirez was supposed to be taking on another fighter, Emilio Garcia, but who ended up having to drop out. But before he dropped out, this fight was getting like a lot of hype here in Phoenix. It was just going nuts. Like on my Facebook, it was just crazy. everyone was just anticipating this bout. Anyways, Emilio Garcia ended up having some kind of injury or something, so he had to drop out. So they found a quick replacement in Paul Romero, who I also, Tony and I had the luck of watching him fight. This kid's a nice little scrapper, man. This kid's like a busy little fighter. Anyways, he took on Jensen on that one, and you know, it was a good scrap all the way around. They were both going to blows, and a lot of people thought Paul Romero won. A lot of people thought Jensen won, and it ended up being a draw. And that was pretty much it for the night. There was another an earlier fight that I didn't catch that one. It was a Keith Bush and Douglas Jackson, but I was out smoking a cigarette. And that capped it off for the night, though. But it was definitely a great card, top notch. Boxing all the way. Hats off to Iron Boy. They did a really nice job of putting on a bunch of four rounders. I'll tell you what, it was a very entertaining evening.
It sounds like a lot of the Iron Boy, is that like an Arizona type promotion thing?
Yeah, it's in, they're out of Arizona, but they also had some. They had three amateur bouts also, and one of them was Panchito de la Vaca. He works out of Mayweather's gym in Vegas. He's going to be turning pro, I believe, in January or February. But he works out of Mayweather's gym. This kid's like a freaking striker. I love watching this kid fight. He's got like a huge fan base. It's hard to believe. I mean, he's like an amateur, but you should see him when he comes out. He's got a really nice ring entrance and everything, and the fans just love the crap out of him. And he was also out, I believe, he was working out with Shane Mosley. They were sparring out at, I don't know, somewhere out in California, but actually Shane Mosley wanted him to fight on that card that they had in Pomona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wanted to come out there and fight, but of course he couldn't because he was obligated to this fight here. But I'll tell you what, you need to watch this kid when he turns pro. Watch out, man. He's just like a force to be dealt with. He's going to be got a long career ahead of him.
Well, you know, I wish I was in Arizona this weekend to go to those fights instead of last weekend. But I did see fights, and I remember telling you and Tony on the show 2 weeks ago that me and Emily were going to go to some fights. And we went to the Bad Boy of Boxing promotion out in Arizona, and you guys laughed at me. and I see why now. But I'll tell you this. It was entertaining. It was just fun to watch. No talent whatsoever, and I probably saw one of the worst knockouts ever I've ever seen before.
Really?
We saw two knockouts that were really bad, but one, I mean, it was bad. They had to bring him out on the stretcher. You know?
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah,
I know
shocked.
Tony and I went to one of those. They had like a bare knuckle thing out there one time, and it was, like, really hot. It was kind of like, remember, like, the old Vegas fight at Caesar's Palace when they have outside? It was kind of like that, where it's just really hot. But I know the Bad Boy Boxing, they're a lot. I know, like, the commission doesn't like that out here. And it's just like a bunch of backyard brawlers. But, I mean, once in a while you see some good bouts in there. But I know they were under a lot of controversy before, because I believe, I want to say, I don't know how many years ago, but there was a police officer against fireman or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. But anyways, one of them, I think, died from his injuries in the ring there. But I don't know. I you know, maybe next time you come out, I'd like to go check it out again. It's been actually a while since I've been out there. But what else how many fights did they end up having out there?
Well, what this was, I don't know how it used to be, but what this was now is more like a tournament style. Kind of like, it reminded me of like what the UFC used to do back in the day. You know, bunch of fight. You know, you win, you move on. They had headgear on. They had boxing and MMA, by the way. But the boxers had headgear on. They weren't very talented kids. A lot of them had no talent at all, to tell you the truth. In fact, they had different weight classes, and the heavyweight, the guy who won the whole thing in the heavyweight division, made me look like Calissa Flockhart, like the skinniest person ever. Like, this guy was about 320 pounds and with no muscle at all, at least that I could see. And he won. You know, yeah. the 3 1-minute rounds, you know. So I
can
understand
one minute rounds.
Yeah. But it was like you said, it's kind of like a bare knuckle, but at least you know they had gloves on. The one guy, there's a guy though that I was very impressed with. Like I, out of everybody there, I would have to say he probably does train hard to be a boxer or something like that, or at least he's going to the gym. I mean, this guy was in shape. He was tall. And he was the one that did the knockout that I just – it was the first fight for him, and he knocked this guy out. The guy walked into a left hook that – I mean, talk about – it was picture perfect. And this guy was out cold, mouthpiece flying, face first to the ground. Kind of reminded me of Paul Williams when he got knocked out by Martinez, except this was worse. I mean, I really say this was worse. This guy was out cold, sleeping, bringing oxygen tank and the gurney out. And that's what surprised me even the most, though, is the fact that he got knocked out with headgear on like that, you know? Like,
wow.
Bad. But this guy was good. He ended up winning the whole night, or his division. You know, the MMA there, if there's MMA fans that listen to the show, if you're an MMA fan, Ron, they're pretty good. They're a lot better than the boxers as far as skill-wise goes. The boxers just look like anyone could have signed up for it. You know, if you wanted to try to win a tournament and make, I don't know how much they paid them out, $500, $800, $1,000, who knows. But it definitely was fun. It was, and surprisingly, it was packed, you know, for a little... I mean, it was a small venue, granted, but it was packed. You know, so
wow.
It was cool though. You know, it's something to go to.
Is it inside or outside? They used to
do
it outside.
This was inside.
Oh, okay.
This was inside at the Indian Reservation. I can't remember the name really, but
Fort McDowell Reservation, I think it is. Yeah.
So it's really cool, really fun. But I would definitely go again. It's for entertainment purposes. Purpose, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, it's kind of funny because I brought my camera that I usually take to when I cover fights. And I was like, man, I look silly with this camera around my neck. Let me put this away because there's no point in me taking pictures. I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll cover this or leave it in the ring. And then I realized this is nothing to cover, really.
For like an off weekend or something. But, you know, you're right. I've been going out there and it was, you know, if you're going to go like kick back and just watch some, like, kind of like backyard brawls and drink some beer and stuff. I guess it's pretty fun to watch, I guess. So that's boxing at least. So, I mean, I don't know. Better than staying home and playing Rock and Top and Robots or something, I guess.
Exactly. It was a nice little thing for me, especially me being out in Arizona. It's something to go see, you know. I wanted to actually go to the press conference Saturday and meet up with you, but I was busy the whole day Saturday doing the video shoot for what I was up there for, so.
Oh, yeah, what was that all about? What were you doing out here for that? What was that?
Oh, I have a hip-hop artist out here in L.A. that I manage and promote, and they know some people out in Arizona that we work with, and they decided to film a music video out there. So I went out there for that. You know, it was pretty fun, you know, and Arizona was nice. It wasn't too hot. I got a nice little tan. I got, you know, and you know, enjoyed myself out there, and I'll be back in Arizona hopefully pretty soon, just to come out and say, I want to try to get to a boxing event out there pretty soon. That's
yeah, you know, you really should. And they got some good fights, I think, coming up. I think Iron Boy's got another card coming up. I want to say November. And then there's another one, I think, like in mid-December, I think. See, I'll keep you posted on that, but you should definitely come out for that. You can come over and stay at my house or whatever, too. You don't have to pay for a hotel enough. You just come out and hang out with us, me and Tony and Emily, and we'll all go to some fights, man. Because I think you'd really enjoy it. You'd have a blast.
And then one more thing, too. At the fights, Trevor McCombie, who's fighting next week along with Jose Benavidez Jr. on the undercard of, you know, the Del Nair Nishioka card, his trainer was at these fights, and he was kind of like assisting, like, and he would swap with another trainer in the corners of each fighter. And so I got to meet Trevor McCombie's trainer and stuff, and a nice guy and everything. And
I thought about Alan Veers or something like that, or Alan.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
Yeah, he was at the. I was actually at the Iron Boy fight Saturday night. I saw him. So yeah, I forgot about that. Now is he going to be working Trevor's corner then at the Danera fight?
From what I know, he is. I remember I talked to him a little bit after these fights, and he was telling me that they were out in was it Oxnard. He said he had to go out to Oxnard, or Trevor's out in Oxnard, you know, doing some last-minute sparring or training, you know, out there just before the fight. And so I'm assuming he is, you know, because he didn't say anything that he wasn't training him, so I'm sure he'll be in the corner.
Oh, that'd be cool. Very cool. Now, are you going to that fight, the Danera fight?
I might be going to. Hopefully I am.
Well, because I just found out Friday, out. I think if you do, I want to hook up with you because I'm going to end up going. I'm going to head out there Friday morning. So, yeah, I'd like to hook up with you if you're going. That'd be cool.
Oh, definitely. You know, we'll talk and we'll get out there. I'm more than likely going. I want to find a way to go if I can't go. Let's say that. Yeah. But no, I'm going for sure. I'm just going to say it like that. Let's go. Real quick. You know, you didn't see the Calderon fight. I'm going to actually spoil it for you. So spoiler alert right now. Calderon looked great in the beginning. And it was like kind of like the same MO with Calderon. He was throwing these punches at all different angles and looked really good. I was happy for him. I was like, man, Calderon might be making a comeback. And yeah, that wasn't the case. He ended up just his age, I guess you could say, you know. The first three rounds, he looked really good outboxing him. And then Fuentes, and that's one thing. You could decide. I mean, we all know Calderon's small, but, man, the size between these two guys, Calderon looks like a 37-year-old a baby inside the ring. Like, that's how small he looks, in my opinion. But Fuentes ended up getting him, started breaking him down. It was funny because I didn't see it live. I didn't see it last night. I watched it today. I did follow it on Twitter. Like, I'm reading tweets from everybody, and I'm seeing, oh, Calderon's looking good, but will he last? Oh, he's probably not going to last. And I was like, man, everyone doubting him. And next thing you know, I read, oh, Calderon's down. And that's exactly what happened. He couldn't last, a much bigger guy. Fuentes,
what round was that?
He round five, three times. He knocked him down three times, and they stopped the fight. And what do you think about Calderon? Is he done? Do you think he should hang him up?
Well, man, you know, he's almost 40 or I mean, he's 30, up there.
37 years old.
He's had a long career, but. I always enjoyed watching him fight, but you know, he's had a lot of losses lately. I can't remember exactly how many losses he's had, but I know he's had quite a few losses lately, or at least a few. And man, I don't know. It might be time for him to hang up, especially if he got lit up in a fifth rounder on this one, then, huh?
Yeah, and that's what sucks is he did look good for a while, you know. Like, but before the show started, I was talking to our producer. David Chan, and he brought up a good point. They basically have a blueprint on Calderon now. You know, after his first couple losses, you know, it's just a blueprint, you know, and now, especially at this age, at 37, he can't last that long, almost. Especially, he's a fast fighter, so when you're, you know, the older you get, you know, the speed kind of diminishes, you know, at least later in the fight it will, you know. You know, Segura, you know,
he's always been one of my favorite southpaw fighters, though. I always liked watching him fight, though. But yeah, I just pulled it up on BoxRec. Like, geez, he's got a few losses in the last few rounds.
You got two KO losses to Segura, one in the first one in the eighth, and then that on the rematch, even worse, but it was in the third round. You know, I think he's done. I think it would be nice to see him kind of, you know, go out now. I hate to see fighters that are so talented and so, you know, good / great at one point, and then they end up becoming, you know, tune-up fights for, you know.
Like a circus, you know, like Roy Jones fights and stuff. And I love Roy Jones watching him fight and stuff, but I wish he would just hang it up, man. I just hate to see that.
Yeah, man, and that's that's something I don't want to see Calderon become. You know, he doesn't deserve that. But you know, fighters, that's all they know. All they know is to fight. Retirement is not even in their vocabulary. So we'll see where he goes from now. I personally think that he should hang him up. I doubt he will though. But hopefully he does. Let's just hope that he does. That'd be a great thing. Real quick, to any callers, any listener callers, you know, go ahead, give us a call if you want to talk boxing, anything you want, from the fights this week to the week before, the D'Artagnan fight we can talk about, whatever you want to talk about next week, I don't care. Give us a call at 347-215-7598. And we got other shows that on Believe It in the Ring Radio Bander that you got to check out on Mondays for all the Spanish speakers out there. Noche de Boxeo from 5 o'clock to 8 or it's 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. I think it's also 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours, not sure. Go ahead and check that show out. Great show for all the Spanish speakers. And then on Thursday, it is the big show, Leave It in the Ring Radio, with your host, Dave Duenas, and the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. 3 hours of boxing talk, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 Eastern. Make sure you check that show out. It's always a good show, great guests, you know, and pretty funny. You know, they're not as funny as me, but they're pretty funny. But they're good people. But no, make sure you check out Leave It in the Ring Radio. Undisputed Fight Magazine, make sure you check that out. You got to get it. If you're not a box, if you're a real boxing fan, you got to get that Undisputed Fight Magazine at UndisputedFightMag.com. And, you know, since Ron's on the show, Ron, tell them all where they can hear you at the other show that you have.
Oh, I work with Tony Whitby, who's actually on his way to Disneyland right now. I know he's probably out there by now, but we have a show with on Max Boxing Radio, Punches and Bunches, every Wednesday night, 10 o'clock for all the late night boxing fans. Josh always calls in from time to time. That's always it's great to chop up boxing with you to see what's going on, you know, nationwide and especially in California area. So it's always great to have you on there. And Tony's going to be in California this week, so I'm going to be on alone, but I'm going to do a boxing or a ring announcer roundtable with Lupe Contreras and Thomas Triber and Ralph Velez, who was the ring announcer last night for the Iron Boys show. So I'm just going to let them, like, you know, turn them loose and see how they got started, see what's going on, see how they do it, and just let it go wherever it goes. That'll be like this Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
Nice, nice. So everyone, make sure that you guys check that out. It's a great show. Punches and Bunches is always fun. You guys get great guests, and it's awesome to see guests go on because this is a late night show, and you guys always get really nice guests on the show, and it's always a fun time. And when I call in, I always got to throw in the little dingers out, you know, out there. I think you and me were teaming up on Tony a couple of weeks ago too because he couldn't make it to the press conference and stuff. But
yeah,
and Tony also writes for Undisputed Fight Magazine too.
Yeah, I like it when you come on though, because you always throw in a good perspective on a fight coming up, on something that we never thought about, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you, I appreciate that. Ron, we got on our guests, Abby and Jennifer. I think they're on the line. We're gonna bring them on and chop it up with them and ask them a few questions and then see about their fight coming up. So, Abby and Jennifer Pond, you guys there?
Yes,
what's going on? How you guys doing?
No, I'm doing good. I think Jenny's doing all right as well.
Yeah, I'm over here in Ohio at the PAL, but my brother's back home in El Paso.
Great, great. So you guys are calling from we're all different parts of the world right now, or the United States. That's nice. So you know, to let everyone know, you know. A lot of people who don't know, you guys got a fight coming up. I know I've seen Abby fight a few times, you know, on last fight at the Sun Bowl. Well, why don't both of you go ahead and tell everybody about yourself?
All right, Jenny, you can go first.
All right, we're both going to be fighting in El Paso, Texas on the Top Rank card October 27th. And Abby's going to be the co-main event. I'll be on the undercard, but it's awesome because we're both fighting on the same card as pros. That hasn't happened in our hometown, so we're really, really excited to be fighting on the same card in our hometown.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited for that. I'm 17-0 with 11 knockouts. My career is starting to blossom. I feel after this fight, I can get on some of the bigger cards. I'll fight the bigger names in my division, and I can make a big impact in the division. And I want to fight the best, and hopefully Top Rank can get me there.
Nice, nice. Now, you know, how does it feel, you know, being, you know, siblings and stuff, you know, you're from a family of fighters, too, if I'm not wrong. Am I correct on that?
Yeah,
the whole family's fighters.
How's that work out between you guys at, like, you know, Thanksgiving dinners? You know, how's the competition between everyone? You know, you guys, like, very competitive?
Yeah, you can say that, but, you know, it is weird. Inside the gym, you know, we're very competitive, but when we get home, it dies down. It's like we switch. We're with an on and off switch, and it comes off. When we were kids, you know, we fought all the time, but I guess as we got older, we knew when to turn it on, when to turn it off. But it's been great. We still sometimes, even at the household, you know, we'll box a little bit, you know, we get a little upset. But, no, it's a part of our life, and even when we go out, you know, with my girlfriend or anything, it changes because sometimes I'm a little too rough for them, so I got to ease it up a little bit.
No, the only time it gets really heated or really excited is if, like, let's say we're watching a boxing match and we're going for one guy and the other half of our family is going for another guy, then it gets kind of heated. But other than that, it's really cool at our house. No problems. Well, no drama.
You guys don't start breaking up kung fu fighting or anything like that?
No.
You know, I think you're only about a year older than Abby. Is that right, Jennifer?
I'm 15 months older than Abby.
All right. Now, even though it's not that big of a separation, did you used to pick on him?
When I was younger, I thought I was a nice older sister, but apparently I wasn't. So I guess when I was younger, I took advantage of him sometimes. But in my mind, I thought I was a good older sister, but...
Oh, yeah, you know, it's good. She was a good older sister. She used to grab the Fisher-Price Playhouse thing, you know, that little house, pick it up and slam it on my face and beat me up. I got a cut on my head because of her. It was part of growing up, I guess. A tough, big, strong sister. So, but everyone didn't say anything to me because, you know, she could beat them up too. So it didn't bother me too much.
I never thought that AB would be ever bigger than me or stronger than me when I was younger. But, yeah, it happens when you go through puberty and things switch. Things switch and it becomes bigger and stronger. But I've always been the bossy one because I am the older sister. But it's cool. We're cool with each other.
That's very cool. I got interested in you when you watched. I really I think that last fight you had, it was in Fort Worth, man. And you just... that was really the first time I really got to watch you fight, and I was like, what the fight?
Thank you. It was against a bigger girl, much, much stronger girl than I'm used to.
Yeah, Josh, you got to check that out on YouTube if you didn't get a chance to see it.
Definitely.
Who are you fighting on the 27th, and who's your opponent?
They haven't announced it yet. They were talking about a girl from Colorado, but I don't know what happened. It doesn't matter. I've been training really, really hard, so it doesn't matter who my opponent is. I'm ready, but I'm just grateful to be on the card, and hopefully Colorado's not too far away, so hopefully it works out.
Cool. And maybe how about you? Do you know who your opponent's going to be yet?
Oh, yeah, so I'm fighting a guy by the name of Dan Neal. His record is 9 wins, 4 losses. He's from Sinaloa, Mexico. That's where he was born and raised. I don't know where he lives now, if he's still there. But I'm expecting to win. I've been training very hard with my coach, Louis Burke, and with Austin Trout. Every fight I go into, I take it seriously, no matter who the competitor is. But hopefully, after I get through this fight, I can fight the bigger names and a tougher opposition so that I can make a name for myself.
Very cool.
Yeah, I like to hear that too. I was actually going to ask you that, Abraham, that, you know, if you felt ready to start, you know, going to like 10 rounders and, you know, the tougher competition, and for you to just automatically just say that, that's good. You know, you sound like you just want to start, you know, building your name bigger and better, you know, and getting to bigger and better things, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If I could fight the big name now, yeah. I jump on the bandwagon, like, automatically. I think I can fight them. You know, I'm not fooling myself. You know, I just want to see how good I am. I want to see if I can fight those guys. It's just exciting to me to see if I can fight him in fighting one of those top names in the division, the middleweight class or the light middleweight class, any of those two weight classes I can make. So it would just be exciting to fight one of those big name fighters. Say that was a part of, you know, a big fight. That's what I want to be a part of. I think I could surprise a lot of people, turn heads with my style. I'm a very awkward type of fighter because I can fight from lefty to righty. You know, I'm pretty smart. I like to brawl, so not like crazy, but I do like to throw down in a very effective manner. I pace myself, look for my openings, so I'm not a boring fighter either. So I think the fans and the crowd would appreciate my style. I just have to follow the Top Rank. I think they have the best interest for me at heart, and hopefully this will be the last 8-rounder I fight, and they can move me up with the big boys.
Yeah,
how is the training with Austin Trout? How's that been going?
Austin is a phenomenal person and an athlete, and we work really well together, and I think that's the reason my confidence is so high, because Austin is such a defensive a master, and he's very smart with his offense. He picks and chooses his spots. It really, when he punches, he doesn't waste any punches. He doesn't waste any conditioning. Everything, his timing is very superb. If he makes a mistake, he goes back in the gym and he drills it over and over again. So I know if I could compete with him, I could fight with him, and I have full confidence that I could fight with anybody else in the world. He's going to fight Miguel Cotto, and I think I'm up to that stature, and I think I'm at the level with Austin as the other guys in the division. So just fighting and sparring with Austin on a daily basis and training with him gives me a very big confidence. And then you got Louis Burke, which is a prize fighter himself back in the day, and his experience and the knowledge of the business has helped me a lot and crafted me to the fighter I am today, especially in El Paso and Las Cruces, because, there's not a lot of big names that come out of the city. So I'm very fortunate to have both those guys helping me in my career.
Yeah, I was going to say, AB, he hasn't been given the opportunity to show his abilities against the big-name guys, but if they give him the opportunity, AB's going to shine. My brother is such a treat to watch, and I hope Top Rank starts moving him up to those 10 rounds. We'll be very, very happy to see him.
Now, Jennifer, let me ask you something. You know, for women's boxing, when you're training, is it hard to find people to spar with?
Yes, but I'm not the only one. All girls have trouble finding sparring partners, but I adapt pretty well, so whoever is willing to spar with me, I spar with them. I spar with my brothers and sisters. I spar with some of the guys at my martial arts school, and I think Louis is working on bringing in some sparring partners when I come back into town. I'm not the only one that has trouble finding sparring partners, but it's not a big deal to me because I'll spar whoever my coach puts in front of me. So
yeah, Jenny's very good at adapting, and she's just working at the gym. She whatever Louis shows me, whatever we practice at the gym, she studies. She's very teachable, and I think that's what makes her very dangerous.
That's what I was going to ask you. So I take it that you know, Jennifer, you follow boxing a lot. You're a fan of it as well. You know, you're probably an addict just like we are on the show. Did you watch or did you read about Kalisha West? Do you follow a lot of the other people?
I know Kalisha West from the amateurs. She was an amateur with me, and she didn't fight at the same weight class. She was lighter. She fought at bantamweight, and she's a very good friend of mine, and I'm very proud of her. I did not see her fight, but I did hear about her win, and I'm super proud of Kalisha.
Nice. Do you think that for women's boxing, though, there at one point maybe you can get to a point where it'd be more on TV, more on, you know, undercards?
I know we're heading that direction. I know we're heading that direction because it's just going to keep getting bigger and better. And I think the public hasn't seen the talent in women's boxing yet, but we're going to be given the opportunity and the public's going to like it. I know it. I feel it in my heart, and I know the women's boxing is going to explode. And then I don't know if you guys caught the women's boxing Olympics, Clarissa Shields. She was such a beast. Mm-hmm. I commend her on her performance, and I think a lot of promoters saw that. And I think women's boxing is going to explode these next few months, these next few years.
Yeah, that is, she is. You know, shout out to her and the whole Olympic team. That, you know, I don't care what anyone says. I'm still seeing a few of them did really well in there, even if
I agree.
Ron, you got? How about you, Ron? You got any other questions? I got more too, but go ahead, man.
Well, I just wanted to say that with this card coming out there, I hope that Jennifer gets signed by a promoter pretty soon, and we get to see more of her box, because she definitely, well, all women boxers. I know I was talking to Slim Soto out here. She's an amateur fighter out here, but she runs into the same problem as far as like trying to find matches and people to spar with. It's just really difficult and unfortunate for women's boxing, because they, you know, women's boxing is so entertaining anyways to watch. And I know, you know, like the times of Christy Martin and all that kind of stuff, but it was really, really just really entertaining to watch. I mean, there's some really great fighters out there, and so many that we don't even know about that we never get to see them. And hopefully this will all change with the Women's Olympics and everything, and hopefully that'll come into play and we'll get to see more of it.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I'm with you. I know there's excellent females in my division. There's excellent female fighters, period. And I think the promoters are going to pick up on it. I really, really believe that. And we're going to have a lot of stars in the female division. And I'm going to be one of them.
Nice. What do you got, Josh?
Now, yeah, for Aram, you know, you brought it up a little bit. You talked about, you know, training, having Louis Burke as your trainer. And, you know, did you know about Louis Burke, you know, like early about his career before you started training with him?
No, actually, I didn't know too much about him. All I knew was that he was Austin Trout's trainer and David Rodriguez's trainer. The reason I kind of went with him is there's a lot of good local talent in El Paso and trainers and managers, but I couldn't feel confident with any person. But when I looked at Louis Burke and I saw the way he was training, the way he was working with his fighters, I thought, you know, maybe this might be something. So he helped me towards the end of my amateur career, and I won the Eastern Olympic Trials. I won the Ringside World Championships, and the chemistry just seemed to fit. He gave me that confidence that I needed. He knew when to push me, how to work with me, how to make me become the better fighter than I could be to my full capacity. And ever since then, it just things have been working for us.
All right. Now, do you train out in New Mexico?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, it's an hour up and an hour back, so it's a 2 hours drive. So, but luckily, I get to write that off on my taxes. But other than that, yeah, it's a waste. But you know, it's worth it, you know, because he's a good trainer. I respect what he's done for me. So, you know, if I had to drive another 2 hours to go up there and back, you know, I would, because you can't find that kind of a trainer. Louis is, I don't think a lot of people understand how great of a trainer he really is. I think if more people understood the way he's able to adapt to each fighter and help them make them a better fighter, he could be training. I mean, everybody would want his number right now.
Yeah, Louis,
I like him.
He is an amazing
trainer. He's kind of old school as far as training. It reminds me kind of like Billy Briscoe, Gabe Rosado's trainer. You know, they're kind of like old school fighters, and they're or old school trainers too. And it's great to see something like that. And hopefully, it's a dying breed, all the old school trainers and everything. And hopefully, you know, with people like that, it'll kind of resurge.
Oh yeah, I don't know. He's got something special. He's able to every fighter is different. Every fighter has to be approached in a different way. He doesn't train Austin the same way he trains me. He doesn't train, when he had David, he didn't train him the same way he trained us. Each fighter, he trains a little different way. He finds out what works and what doesn't and what makes you a better fighter. And I guess he's, you know, all boxing coaches, the great ones, like Freddie Roach and all those other, Angela Dundee and all those guys, they got to be psychiatrists, because they're able to, it's a lot of it is mental. So if they can mentally motivate you and push you, you can make it.
You know, I know, I was doing some more research. You know, I've seen you fight a couple of times. I haven't seen Jennifer yet, but I will go check those out. You know, I noticed that you were part of the World Combat League?
Yeah, yes. I was part of the WCL, the Chuck Norris kickboxing league.
All right, now, is that something that have you still train in that too? As far as maybe not during boxing, like when you're about to get a fight, but you also train in like mixed martial arts type stuff.
Yes, but I don't compete in it because it's good to do many things, but if you want to be great at something, you got to sacrifice all your time, because if I just be good at a lot of things, I'm not going to be great. I know the best fighters like Floyd Mayweather Jr., Manny Pacquiao, they devote all their time when it comes to training to boxing. I can't expect to be the best if I put my attention on so many different things. It's like basketball and football, you know. They're both great sports, but they're different. And MMA is not the same as boxing. And kickboxing and martial arts are not the same as boxing. So I have to respect each individual sport. And I need to focus my time right now. I want to be the best I can in boxing. And then after my box career is over, I might switch and I might do MMA. But right now, I'm completely focused on just boxing.
We do have a martial arts school, so we do teach class every day. But like Avi said, right now our main focus is boxing.
What made you both decide to be boxers rather than kickboxers or any kind of mixed martial arts?
I actually didn't choose. I'm still open for kickboxing. I'm not signed with any promoter, so I'm not under any obligation to stick with boxing or kickboxing, unlike Avi, who's signed with Top Rank. But I just have more opportunities fighting boxing. Boxing's been very good to me, so I'm going to pursue it as far as I can. I hope to be a world champion and then maybe later pursue the kickboxing or the MMA. But right now, my focus is on boxing. AD, like he said, he wants to be great, and his division is packed with fighters, so he's focusing on boxing. But once he's done becoming a world champion, then he can switch over because, like I said, we do have a martial arts gym, and he is a very multi-talented athlete, so he can switch over anytime.
Kickboxing is my heart. I'm a better kickboxer than I am boxer. I won the World Kickboxing Championships 3 years in a row. I've won it from 2005, 2006, 2007.
Amateur.
In the amateurs, not the professionals. And if kickboxing was in the Olympics, I'd be doing that. And the reason why I didn't continue with the kickboxing is the MMA took over, kind of took the kickboxing circuit down. The only place that kickboxing is really big is in Japan and Europe with the K-1. Mm-hmm. And in the U.S., it's really not. I don't know when the last time you watched a kickboxing show on TV. It just don't exist. I did the World Combat League with Chuck Norris, the Fight League, but that ended up dying out as well. If that was still here, maybe I'd still be doing that because I love kickboxing. I was very phenomenal in that. It just came naturally to me, and I was very gifted because I'd done that since I was 4 years old. Boxing was not as natural, but once I realized that, I can't really make much money in the kickboxing circuit, I decided the best outlet for me would be the boxing. And so that's the reason why I made that final push to boxing. Now I see that the MMA is starting to become very, very popular, so this might open doors for me later on, and I might go ahead and pursue that as well because it is big. A lot of people know about it now, and it's something that could happen in the future.
All right. Interesting. Ron, you got anything else?
Yeah, I just got another question for Abraham. What did your dad think about when you wanted to pursue boxing? Because I know your dad's like a huge, gigantic, martial arts guy. And how did you feel when you wanted to go into boxing?
It was a tough decision for me to make because, I love the martial arts. My family knows that I'm a better martial artist than I am boxer. However, my father was able to understand because, the market in kickboxing wasn't really, there's no economic gain. And even if I was a world champion in kickboxing, professional kickboxing, no one knows. Do you know any world kickboxing champions from the U.S. or even the world? I don't even know any. So it's not very marketable to do something like that. And I decided to do boxing, and my dad understood. He understands that it's very popular in the U.S. compared to kickboxing. I didn't know at the time how big MMA was going to get. I didn't know it was going to be as big as it is now. Maybe if it was, maybe I might have pursued that a little bit more because I'm such a good kickboxer. But you know, it was a group decision. In the end, he was okay with it. As long as I still do martial arts. It's not like I quit martial arts. I still practice my kickboxing. If I had to do a kickboxing fight tomorrow, I'll be ready. I could fight the best kickboxer in my weight division. If I had to, I'd be ready tomorrow. MMA is a different sport, though. I need to work on my jiu-jitsu. I would need to be working a little bit more on my ground and pound techniques, which, you know, it would, I think I pick it up pretty good. I was really good at wrestling in high school, so it's something that is a possibility, and I actually might pursue after my boxing career is over with.
Very cool.
I will add to my dad. My dad is very, very supportive, and when AB made the decision to pursue his boxing, he was like, as long as you're going to be the best at it, I support you. So my dad is great. He's truly the person that pushes us to whatever we decide to do. He pushes us towards that.
Excellent. Now, Jennifer, could you tell, I know we talked the other day, but that you run a reality show down in Mexico. Could you tell us a little bit more?
Yes. The show was originally Todos Contra Mexico, but then they changed their name several times. So now I think it's Reto de Campeonas, but I could be wrong. But anyway, it happened in Mexico. We were there for training camp for 2 weeks and then competition for 5. And it was an amazing experience, training with girls in my weight division and fighting against girls in my weight because there were so many of us. But the production side was whack. It was supposed to be a tournament style. So the foreigners versus the Mexican girls, and there was supposed to be one champion in the end. And that's not how it ended up being at all. I won my first match. My second match, I got a draw. The third match, I fought her again and beat her. And then they awarded me third place and would not allow me to continue to the semis and the finals, which was basically because they needed a Mexican girl to win. So they just had the two Mexican girls fight in the last match. So one of them would be a champion. But I heard that production will not talk to any of us. So this is all through the grapevine. But I heard that one of the girls, the champion, actually was stripped of her title because I think they found out how corrupt it was. So it was, I guess they made it bogus because there wasn't enough drama between the girls. I don't know. I'm not sure what production was thinking. Yeah, it was not.
Very crazy. So
if they would have let it run through as a regular tournament, I think they would have had amazing results. I think it would have been great. But they just stuck their nose where it didn't belong, and it just was really bad. But overall, it was a great learning experience because I got to fight 3 6-round matches. It was awesome, and I got to train with some of the best girls in the U.S., up and coming fighters, and I will never take that experience. I would never regret taking that experience, but I wish they would have let it run through the way they had explained to us in the beginning.
Exactly.
But it's okay. All right, it's all good. And it actually started the ball rolling because I hadn't fought in a while because it was difficult. But once I did the reality show, I got 6 matches last year. And this year I'm so excited to be fighting on AB's undercard. And so I'm truly blessed. And my career is going to take off. I'm really, really, really happy.
That's cool. That's exciting. And then I have one last question. Now, you also have a younger brother and 2 other sisters that are also amateur fighters as well. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got the Han Dynasty clan. Yeah, there's 5 of us. Yeah, probably more to come, but yeah, it's all 5 of us. We got a big another generation coming up after us. So after me and Jenny, you know, they'll probably take over.
Nice.
Amateurs. I don't know if they're going to turn pro, but it's their decision. If not, that's up to them. But they got many, many doors open, many opportunities, many possibilities. Whatever they choose, we'll support them.
You guys are a family that I would hate to have broke one of your toys as a kid or something. Cause you guys, a fighting family, you know, family that fights together stays together.
That's pretty much it. But a lot of people didn't know we're fighting. You know, they see us and they're like, "Oh, you guys are fighters," and I'm like, "Yeah." So we're able to so act like we're not fighters and people buy it. So it's pretty good.
Man, I would hate to be the person going for the last roll of Thanksgiving dinner, man. I bet that would be a nice little scrap.
Yeah, right. Actually, my brother could probably, you know, he always wins. Man, that guy can eat. You know, we're fighters, so we all eat a bunch of food. No, we go to other people's houses and stuff, and they're like, my God, like, you guys eat that much? I'm like, man, you don't play, man, we're boxers, we fight, man, we don't eat. But yeah, we tear it up at Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, no one invites us anywhere. No, they don't invite us to their house. We know we're going to eat everything.
No, the holidays are the best. That's my favorite time of the year, but... like Gaby said, we can definitely eat. Our family, we burn lots of calories. We can eat.
And you know, thanks for both of you coming on. Before I let you guys go, you guys got any social media that you guys want to shout out, like your Twitter, Facebook? I don't know,
I'm on Facebook. AB's on Facebook. Definitely add us because we appreciate the support and we put all our fights, all our upcoming fights on Facebook. So definitely add us on. We don't have Twitter yet. We'll probably have to work on that.
Yeah, I got to get with the Twitter. No, I'm not so much with the social media thing, but I know that my coaches have been telling me, you know, you got to get on there. You got to show your support. So I need to start doing that.
Yeah, just look us up on Facebook.
You guys got to get on Twitter and start posting pictures of you guys at the family dinners. I think that would be entertaining. But,
definitely.
You know, and
but yeah, actually, that is what
you guys want to say. What's that? Any last things you guys want to say, you know, go ahead.
Just come out to the fights, October 27th, El Paso County Coliseum, and come show your support for us. We'd appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, we definitely appreciate it. Everyone out there that is not curious, you know, you got to get curious because, you know, we mean business. I think we're going to be up there in the next couple of years. Oh, not next couple of years, next year, I think, you know, I'll get up there, my sister as well. So just keep a lookout for the Hans.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks. It's a pleasure having you guys on the show. You guys are welcome back at any time. As long as you ever just call in and talk boxing, just feel free to call in.
Thank you for having us again.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right, Abby, you got it.
Good luck for both of you guys on your upcoming fights, too.
Thank you.
All right, definitely. Sounds good. Then I'll talk to you later.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Jennifer and Abraham Hahn. That was a fun interview. You know, that's cool, man, a fighting family, man. Ron, I don't know about you, though, but... I can only imagine if I was like in a family that, you know, a bunch of fighters, like you said, going after that last roll or, you know, that last turkey leg, man, I would be knocking out people for it.
I'm already thinking about it. I think I'd have to like poke out their eyes or something, grab the roll and then run. That's my strategy.
You know, but that's crazy. You know, that's awesome to see, you know, not only are they boxers, they're just fighters, kickboxing,
yeah.
You know, mixed martial arts, you know, and, you know, I have nothing against, you know, MMA, but, you know, there's always the boxers don't like MMA, MMA don't like boxers. I think, you know, they're both amazing sports, you know. I'm more of a boxing fan, but, you know, it's crazy. MMA is a hell of a thing, and I can only imagine there's a lot of MMA guys trying to become boxers. They're saying they can be boxers, like, I think the Diaz brothers and stuff like that, you know, and I think that's good, though, to see two sports can come together, in, or just a fighter in general coexist in the two different sports.
Yeah, I just got really high up on these two, you know, a while back and everything. But I'd seen Tony and I went out to Tucson to see. We saw AB fight down in I think it was Showtime. But yeah, he lit it up on that night. And then when I watched Jennifer her fight, man, I was like, man, who is this? And God, it was amazing, man. But and then the more I learned about them, they're just really good kids, really well disciplined, and they're in it. You know, they're just good for boxing. Period, all the way around. They're just good kids.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure to see Abraham fight twice so far, not live, but you know, I think the last fight at the Sun Bowl, the Top Rank showed it on their website, And then I think the fight before I caught on like YouTube or something like that or on a link. Speaking of links, we will have Ryan Bivens calling in around 6:30. Ryan Bivens is the man if you're trying to look for fights and links. Sweetboxing.wordpress.com or sweetboxingvideos.wordpress.com. He's going to probably kill me for messing it all up, but he'll be calling in around 6:30 and letting us know what fight that you need to go and watch it just in case you miss. So we'll have him on later. But once again, call in number 347-215-7598. Call in, talk boxing, talk whatever you want. Talk about Jennifer and Abraham Hahn if you want. Whatever you want to talk about, call in and have fun. Chop it up. We love boxing here. That's all we want to do, talk boxing. Don't forget, Monday nights, Don't Take the Box Sale from 5 Pacific Eastern. Thursday, Leave It in the Ring Radio with your host, Dave Gwinnett, and the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. You can catch that. 3 hours of boxing, top 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And then don't forget your Undisputed Fight Magazine at UndisputedFightMag.com. If you're a boxing addict, you got to have it. If you say you're a boxing addict and you don't have it, you're not a boxing fan. I'm just saying. So go ahead and check that out. Great articles in there every month. Great stuff. And, you know, in the new age of time, it's digital. It's on your phone, your tablet. You know, none of this magazine anymore, you know, I guess. Or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, let's get back to recapping the weekend. I forgot where we're talking about Calderon. And I know you didn't, like you said, you didn't see the fight. I'll just, like, recap the fight real quick, and then I'm going to ask you a question about some of the fighters. Well, Fredo Vasquez Jr. against Oquendo. I heard you talking about Oquendo has an interesting story, doesn't he? Oquendo or Moises Fuentes? Is it one of them that something happened with their wife or girlfriend?
Yeah, shit, how was that? You know what, man? You know, I don't know. I don't remember. I remember something, but
yeah,
I can't remember.
Well, anyways, Wilfredo, you know, he's coming. He's trying to, you know, get his career back going on. Jonathan Oquendo is not no pushover fight. It's a really good fight. You know, that whole card in Puerto Rico was really entertaining all around, at least for those first two fights. You know, Quinto started off early, and Wilfredo, you know, he almost looked like he was going to lose, like, easily. But he started coming on, I think it was the first couple of rounds, he started coming on, and next thing you know, it was like the Wilfredo Vasquez just came out in beast mode, like you turn on a switch. And he goes in and started battering Oquendo. And the fight ended up getting stopped. You know, it was in the seventh round. It was a seventh-round knockout. Time was, I think, about 2, I think it was 2:33 that I see. And so Vasquez comes up and gets a big win. I think it's big for him, especially at this point of his career, after fighting, you know, Donaire, which he put on a hell of a fight against Donaire. You know, I'm not going to knock him on that. What do you think this leaves Vasquez right now? You know, big win. You know, what's next for him? What do you think that he could do? What does this win do for his career?
I think it does a lot for his career because he's like, I can't remember how many losses. I know he's only got like one or two losses, but I've always been high up on him and everything. And I really wanted to watch, I'm going to watch this fight, but I wanted to see how he, you know, as far as like his, stamina and all that, if he blocked a step or anything or what, but I really like this guy. I really like watching him fight, and you know, he's, you know, I'm wondering, I mean, do you think he's like pretty much peaked out right now at this stage of the game, or do you think he's you know, where do you think he's gonna go?
I'm not sure. You know, it's kind of weird because, all right, he has two losses, both of them from hell of fighters. One of them, one of my favorite fighters. He lost to, he got knocked out, a TKO in the 12th round by one of my favorite Mexican fighters, Jorge Arce. And that's not someone that, you know, to be upset about losing. I mean, Arce is a beast. I don't care what anyone says. He's entertaining and he's ruthless. And he comes into the ring with a lollipop in his mouth, all right? So that's pretty good. But, and then you got Donaire, and he kept it up with Donaire. In fact, it was a split decision. Some, you know, I don't know if he necessarily won the fight in my eyes, like if I can give it to him on a card, but he put up a hell of a fight. he even got knocked down in that fight and came up and still fought his ass out, you know? And then here with Oquendo, he started off slow. But then he came back and did his thing and ends up getting the knockout in the seventh round. And by all means, I don't think it, I didn't expect him to knock out Oquendo, honestly. But I think he has the potential to start doing some things at 122 again. He's just got to stay, if he stays focused and does, you know, and continues to work hard, I mean, I don't see why not. Maybe I don't necessarily think he's at the with the elite of the elite, like the Donaires or, you know, Abner Matas, the Morenos, but he's definitely up there and they can try to give a fight, you know?
Yeah, because I was really impressed with him when he fought Donaire. And then, you know, I think I actually, and then when he got knocked down, I forgot what round, it was the later round, so he got knocked down, and I thought, oh, man. But, you know, he held his own, and he did pretty good. And then for this fight, I can't wait to watch it. I just want to watch and see how he's doing, how his stamina is and everything now. And I don't know where he goes from here, but hopefully there's bright things for him on the horizon, because I know he's getting up there in age. I don't know how old he is, like 20, close to 30, I think, or 28, 30 years old. So I'd like to see him, you know, go somewhere and continue on.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Oquendo has a pretty sad story. This was his first fight after a year. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like I'm mixing the fighters up, but I'm might be on the right one. Oquendo, I think, tragically lost his fiance or something like that, and you know, this is like some interesting stuff that was going on that he was battling through. So he didn't fight. This is his first fight. After a year, his last fight was in 2011 on October 1st. So, you know, I can't. Maybe this is not saying too much about Vasquez beating this guy who hasn't fought in over a year. But for one thing, Oquendo looked good for the first couple of rounds. So, I think this is a solid victory for Wilfredo, and like to see what he can do from now on. Or from this moment on in his career. It'd be pretty interesting to see what can happen.
Oh, no doubt.
In the fight that I said that stole the weekend, in my opinion, was Yoshihiro. All right, hold on. Before I mess this name up, I'm so bad with these things. Yoshihiro Kamagi, something like that, versus Jorge Silva.
Really?
Ron, this guy. Yeah, have you seen Jorge Silva fight?
No, I haven't. I have not seen him yet fight.
Well, me neither, and until last night. And I'll tell you this, Ron, I want to see more of this guy fighting. He throws every punch with intent to hurt you, and he goes through the body. He almost fights like an old-school Mexican type fighter. He goes through the body. He throws punches. He's a little flashy, though. That's the Mexican of him, you know, he puts his hands down kind of like Sergio Martinez, puts his hands down, sticks his chin out, tries to egg you on a little bit. But man, he fought a solid fight. If I'm not mistaken, watching the fight, listening to the commentators, that he trains with the same trainer now, or he's in the same camp as Jorge Linares, who was also on the undercard. But man, this guy, he's just fun to watch. It was his first fight in, I think, outside of Mexico and in the States. Or, well, not even in the States, it was in Puerto Rico, but outside of Mexico. It was just a hell of a fight. It ended up being a draw. The Japanese guy, I think he's Japanese, I'm assuming his name, Yoshihiro. Yoshihiro put on a hell of a fight, too. You know, it was back and forth, but I think Silva captured a lot of fans. I mean, I was reading on Twitter, I want to see more of this guy. I want to see more of this guy. And Ron, this kid's only 20 years old, and he has a record of 19-2-2.
Wow.
So he has a lot of fights on his belt for only being 20 years old.
So is this that guy that, God, I want to say that he, I thought he was doing something with, what's his name? Someone down in Tijuana. I know he was doing, they were doing a lot of shows down there, and I wonder if this is that kid that I've been hearing about.
Yeah, most of his fights are in Tijuana, so I'm assuming that is him. And this fight, I'm sorry, I said it was in Puerto Rico. I was still thinking of the last card. This fight was back in, it was in Sacramento. It was in, up north in California. So, and also, Yoshihiro was, is 21, was 21-0. Now he's got his little draw on his record. I want to see a rematch. You have to make sure you watch this fight, Ron. This fight was a great fight and just entertaining as far as Jorge Silva. I really enjoyed watching him and hope to see more of him in the States, you know, because you know, I think we all can admit that if you ain't fighting in the States, really, you're not going to get too much notoriety, at least, or the money, at least, you know, unless you're in Europe, too. Europe gets the stuff out there, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, I definitely want to check him out. I think this is the kid I've been hearing about. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Yeah, definitely. Now, on the undercard, Jorge Linares trying to make a little comeback, if you want to call it that. I hate to use that word comeback so loosely like that. It makes it seem like, you know, they left, but he never left. He just, his chin left. His chin left. He's been knocked out twice the last two fights, you know, making his comeback. He won a 10-round unanimous decision. I was unimpressed. I heard one of the announcers talking about how Linares had said that he thinks he can get a KO on this guy. He didn't get the KO. He just fought a boxing fight. He won on the scorecards 100-89, 98-91, 97-91. And to me, it was still very unimpressive. Jorge Linares is a guy that has no chin. We all know that. He left. Freddie Roach in the wildcard gym, training back out in Japan or Tokyo, where I think that's where he started his career like that too. But I don't think the trainer is necessarily, the trainer might teach you defense, but I don't think the trainer is going to help your chin. And I don't know about Linares. What do you think about him?
Yeah, you know, after watching his little scrap with DeMarco, man, you know, I don't know. I was kind of wondering what's going to happen with him. And then he lost that next fight against, I can't remember who the hell it was.
Sergio Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was like in the early rounds, I think too. He got his ass lit up on that one. And,
yeah, I think
he got cut or something. And,
yeah.
Man, that was nasty. So I was always wondering, you know, like Kelly Pavlik, is this eye issue going to be, you know, are you going to look at him and he's going to start bleeding kind of thing, you know? So I don't know. Maybe he was just playing it safe this fight. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's funny. And I remember where I was at during the fight against Sergio Thompson. I was covering a fight in Woodland Hills. It was one of the little cards that they have out here. And I'm sitting with a couple of different riders over on Press Row there, right there. And I looked at my phone because I wanted to see who won that fight because I was looking forward, and I think as much as you were and everyone else, I was looking forward to the rematch between Linares and DeMarco. And, Sergio Thompson said, hell no. Sergio Thompson knocked – it was a TKO the second round. I just pulled it up. It was the second round. I remember seeing that. I saw Twitter going crazy, and I tell the few writers I was next to, I was like, hey, Thompson knocked out Linares, and people's jaws dropped. Like, no one wanted to admit that Linares had a weak chin until we realized that, yeah, that's two in a row.
But that cut, man, was like it was a nasty cut, and I was really surprised because when once your eye gets cut like that, man, it takes, you never really is the same after that, and I was kind of wondering, man, if it's, you know, that's going to really affect his career now. When you look at him, he just, I mean, if I was his opponent, I'd go straight for the eye right off the top, man. I'd get me a little bleeding going and then go in. Because once you're cut, man, you're, you know, it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard to move.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you bring on a good point. And what I'm going to say here, if people call in or whatever, they're probably going to be like, what the hell? Why would you say such a thing? But I'm looking at it as an opponent's perspective. He fights another guy. Let's say another guy who's just an opponent. what makes you think he won't try to throw maybe a little headbutt or a little, you know, something fly inside, you know, the little Bernard Hopkins dirty tactics, you could say,
yeah,
just to get the cut going, you know, and that, cause that cut's still there. He cuts easily now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Do you think that moving his camp back to, like, Tokyo and leaving Brady Roach is going to make any difference as far as boxing skills and logic?
I think he should. I think he should have stayed with Freddie Roach, and I don't know. I think it was probably not a good move on his part. I think it is. I think he should have stayed.
Well, I know he started out in Japan or something like that. You know, maybe he's still comfortable there. I know he has like a house out there, which is really weird. I just find that weird. Venezuelan and he lives in Japan. I wonder how they look at him out there. That'd be kind of weird. But I'm sure he sticks out like a sore thumb. But
yeah.
I think it might be a good move as far as boxing-wise. I'm telling you, like, he has such a weak chin. I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think he's going to be Jorge Linares, the champion, you know, or at least a big-time guy. Like, his chance was against the Marco, and I think that's going to be his last chance to see. But
yeah,
one thing for sure. Go ahead, Ron.
I was going to say, I think you're definitely right. But he's, you know, he's a marked man now with his chin. And I don't know, man. That's why I think you should go back to Freddie Roach to at least learn a little bit of defensive skill to ward that off, I guess. But I don't know. I may see where he's going to go, though, because I want to definitely see another fight with him.
You know, and I hate to, I'm not trying to make the show about this guy now or whatever, but one thing for sure, Linares got DeMarco to where he's at now by getting knocked the hell out in the 11th round against DeMarco. Now DeMarco's doing bigger and better things and knocking out people in one round and going to fight what it sounds like Adrian Broner, I'm sure it's pretty much the done deal from what I heard. And I can't wait for that fight.
That's going to be a nice little scrap.
Yeah, and we all know how I feel about that and Broner, so I can't wait for that. But definitely. And a side note, I wanted to point out, Hugo Centeno, I said it earlier in the little boxing glitch, he won a unanimous decision, 6 rounder. Have you had a chance to see Hugo the Boss Centeno fight?
No, I haven't. I've heard a lot about him, but I've never seen anything yet.
Well, besides a flashy dresser, because when we did the live Ustream show, on the very first live Ustream show we did on Leaving in the Ring Radio, he was a special. He came through at the gym and did a real nice interview out there at the Extreme Boxing Gym in Oxnard or Santa Paula. I don't know, they're like the same city pretty much. They're like right next door. But man, he's a flashy dresser. But he's a real talented boxer. I like this kid. He looks good. One thing I just want to say, I haven't really got to check out his fight. I want to check it out once. I think that Ryan Bivens has it on his site maybe. But one thing, he needs to start stepping up, I think, now. The talent level he's fighting.
What's his record anyway?
He's 15-0 or something. Let me pull it up right now. The guy he fought, I only had like 4 wins or something like that. You know, but this is definitely a time, I think, where he can start stepping up. And he's 21 years old, 16 wins, 16-0, 8 of them by knockout. And the guy he fought was 4-5-2. You know, you know, it's funny because normally I'm hard on people like, you know, like this. But I think he's talented. I don't think he's a fraudulent fighter, you know, that was built up to this. I really think he has a lot of talent. I want to see more of him. I think this is where it's time to start moving up, though. Now let's move up to competition. He's fighting six or eight rounders. This last fight was a 6-rounder. The one before it was an 8. Then it's kind of fluctuates, actually. It's been 6-8, 6-8, 6-6, and I think the rest is 6 and beyond and lower. So I like to see him stay at 8, maybe 10, and start stepping up in competition. The fight before this was pretty challenging fight, or at least a step up level. He fought I.E. Bruce. I remember I.E. Bruce on, I think it was Friday Night Fights, and I also remember because I.E. Bruce's nickname is Bruce Lee, and I think it's like blasphemy for anybody that's not undefeated to have a nickname like Bruce Lee. That's like a heavyweight champion being called Muhammad Ali Jr. or something like that, and not undefeated. But anyway, my whole point on him is at least that was a little bit of a step up. I'd like to see him continue doing that. I.E. Bruce was 22-7. So I like that. That's fine. 22-7 is acceptable to me. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's at least legit a little bit there. But how does he look as a fighter? What's his strong points and weaknesses?
You know, from what I've seen only a few fights with him. He's got some nice speed. He's pretty talented all around. I like that's the thing. That's why I'm up on him. Is from what I've seen, he goes at he has nice little angles to throw punches at. You know, he can outbox you. He has decent power. He's not like he's not a one punch knockout guy, but he can get you out of there. He only has 8 knockouts, so he's 50%. He has the right people behind him. You've got, as far as powerful people, he has Joel De La Hoya as his manager. And he's a good kid. He looks like a smart kid. He doesn't look like a knucklehead like some of these young kids these days. I'm not saying any names, Broner. I definitely think he has talent. He looks good, and I really want to see him just step up now. This is the time.
I think Tony was telling me, because he's pretty tall kid too, right? He's pretty tall. And Tony was telling me,
that's
another thing. Huge ass long reach.
Yeah, he's 78-inch reach. According to BoxRec, it's 78-inch reach. He's 6'1". He is tall. I'm 6'3". It has him at 6'1". I would say that's about right, because when I was standing next to him, he was about a little bit shorter than me. And he still whipped my ass probably, because he's 6'1" with a 78-inch reach and professional boxer. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's another thing, man. 6'1" and in the light middleweight, I think he's good in that division,
Yeah. Does he have a lot of speed too?
He's got decent speed. I mean, he's not overwhelmingly, I wouldn't say he's overwhelmingly like fast, but 6'1" with that reach, I think he's got enough speed for that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
On that card in Sacramento, here's another fighter I want to see more of, because he's just fun to watch. Guy Robb defeated Adolfo Landeros in a six round decision, unanimous decision. Guy Robb, man, he's fun to watch. I don't know if you saw him fight Joel Diaz back on Showbox maybe a year or two ago. Have you seen Guy Robb fight?
Yeah, where did we see that at? I never seen that, though. Yeah, that was a good fight. You talk about the one where he got the CL, right?
Yeah, I think he knocked down Diaz in the second round. Yeah, he knocked out Diaz in the second round, and then Rob got knocked down in the third, or twice in the third, and then it got stopped in the seventh round. It was an 8-round fight. Joel Diaz is another prospect that I am up on. I think this kid's talented. He trains with Abel Sanchez. He's a young, talented kid with power, with boxing skills, and speed. And you could, just looking at him, I've had a chance to talk to him a few times out in Big Bear while he's training. He's 20 years old. You could see he's only 20 years old, but he's actually a mature 20-year-old. He's not a knucklehead. If you, looks are deceiving, don't judge a book by its cover. If you used to see him back in the day, from what I know, Abel Sanchez made him take out his earrings, which were plugs. He had big old holes in his ear. And, he had that image of looking like maybe a knucklehead or, a problem maker. But he's a real smart kid. He's a real cool kid. He's funny. He, you know, he's good, and I like him a lot to see more of him fight. But him and Guy Raw put on a fight that if eight rounders can be fight of the year, that's definitely a fight that as a prospect fight of the year type of fight earlier. That was earlier this year, it was in January, you know. But with Guy Raw, it's funny, man. Both Guy, that's one thing. You know what I find funny is both Guy Raw and Joel Diaz put on a hell of a fight on TV. And they haven't been on TV since. You know, don't you find that kind of stupid in a sense?
Yeah, because just pulled it up. That was in January.
January 20th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right though. I haven't seen a whole lot of them.
Yeah, I mean they fought. They it's not like they haven't fought. They don't put them on TV yet. I think Joel Diaz definitely will be up there soon, though. He's training, like I said, he's training with Abel Sanchez. He leaves. He's from Palmdale, California, which is about half an hour north of me. And he leaves for months at a time during training camps with Big Bear. And he has a son, he has a kid, and he's focused. He's that type of guy. He's like, you know, he's fighting for his family, but he has to leave them at a time, you know, because he has to get ready and he wants to focus. So I see he has that hard work. I hate to sound so cliche. Hard work, dedication that he needs to become a champion, you know. So and it's good to see Guy Raw, like we were talking about, do his thing and, you know, continue winning.
Joel Diaz, that's all he does. He doesn't have a job or anything. He just does strictly boxing. Is that correct? You know,
from what I know, yeah, I think he's just strictly boxes. You know, he's a 20-year-old that just strictly boxes. You know, that's not a norm. That's why I like to see these guys that are that young stay focused like that, because normally, you know, that's not a 20-year-old lifestyle. You know, when you're 20 years old, you're out there, you want to party, you got the girls, you know, whatever. You know,
yeah, like Vitas Jr., man, that's another kid I'm high up on. And I like watching him too. I just love his dedication and stuff on that. But man, I remember when I was his age, I was doing a lot more shit than, you know, I was having a good time. And you got to hand it to him, man. These kids, they're dedicated.
Yeah, and you can see it in them, and you can see some of the boxers that aren't as dedicated. You know, there's some boxers that you see that are always going out like and partying. You know, and you see, you could tell when they fight the next time in the ring. You could see, like, Andre Berto, he's always twittering about how he's out. When he's out in L.A., he's always talking about he's here partying, doing this, doing that. And as we saw what happened against Ortiz, Ortiz is a good fighter, but you don't know which Ortiz you're going to get, if he's on his meds or not. And you know, you see Berto get knocked, or not knocked out, but lose. But then you see, you know, then you see guys who put all their work and effort. They're not posting and bragging, you know, I'm at this club, you know, and they put in the work and they continue doing things, you know. Like, I mean, Floyd Mayweather is probably an exception. He can go to clubs and continue to do his thing, but not a lot of people could do that. You know, not a lot of these fighters, especially young fighters, can go out every night, party, continue to train and become and be good. And try to get to be great. Like we were talking earlier with Abe, you know, he's all about being great. Why? He doesn't want to be good at a lot of things. He wants to be a great fighter, you know? And that's what that's one thing earlier in that interview. It was good to hear that from him.
Yeah, it is. It's good. Yeah, it's good for the sport, too, especially. At least it gives them a good name, you know, when you have fighters like that. So at least it picks off some of the pressure of all the crap that goes on in this sport that. You know, no matter what though, whether bad or good, man, I'm there. I'm watching it.
Right. And shout out, like you to Jose Benavidez Jr., who will be fighting next week at the Home Depot Center on the undercard of Nishioka and Nishioka and Donaire, and that's going to be a hell of a card. Benavidez is fighting Pablo Miranda. Tony McCombie, who was on our show. Who came on the show a month ago or so. Ever since I got to interview him and talk to him, I became a fan. He is a beast, and he's fighting on that card. And we all know about the fight that, I don't know about you, but it's the fight I want to see. Mike Alvarado versus Brandon Bam Bam. I'm making 140 pounds this time, Rios. So I can't wait for that card. And I said, I'll be out there. You're going to be out there. I know a lot of people are excited for that. I'll just say this. I don't want to talk too much about it unless someone wants to call in. But Mike Alvarado and Rios has the mission to be a goddamn brawl. I'm excited.
I think that's going to be I was on the conference call when they had it. I think it was on Wednesday or whatever, and Bob Arum says he thinks it's possibility for fight of the year. And after I started thinking about that, he could be right, man. I'm really hyped up about this fight because I really want to see what Brandon's going to bring to the table on this. And I don't know if you want to chop it up or not, man. But who are you going for on this?
I'm going for Alvarado. I think Alvarado's going to win. It's just going to sound funny. I never thought I would say this about neither one of these fighters, but they're both brawlers, we know that. But I think that Mike Alvarado has the better set of boxing skills that he can adjust and win in this fight. Plus, he's a natural 140-pounder compared to Rios. We haven't seen Rios at 140. Two things before we get on Ryan Bivens, and we can talk more about this even after. I would hate that we pump this fight up and it doesn't live up to its expectation. Kind of like DeMarco and Molina, like that fight was supposed to be great, and that ends up being I missed it. I blinked and I missed it. And the other thing is, I am a fan of boxing. I'm a fan of technique. A lot of, if you're not a diehard boxing fan, you're not a boxing addict or a boxing head, whatever you want to call yourself. A lot of them just like to see slugfest, kind of like what this Rios and Alvarado will probably be. But I'm a guy that I like even the fights that some people call boring. I like people throwing jabs, technique, being tactical. But let me just say this. If I see any tactical strategies in this fight, if I see more than 10 jabs, I'm turning the I'm leaving. I don't want to see any of that. I want to see like a tough man fight in there. But we'll get back to that. We got our other, I call him my guest all the time. He's always on the show. He's Mr. Sweet Boxing. You can find him on Twitter at Sweet Boxing. This man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Bivens. Ryan, you back on, man. Wasn't around last week. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing? I know you were sick.
I'm doing good. I was sick a couple weeks ago, and this last week I was in Arizona, so I'm back 100% healthy, feeling good, excited for some fights next week, some good fights that happened. One thing I wanted to give you a shout out. I think it was 2 weeks ago. You had an amateur fight, right?
Yeah, I had a fight last weekend.
Oh, it was last weekend.
Yeah, I think last weekend. No, hold on. Am I remembering? Yeah, it was last weekend.
Cool. How did it go?
It didn't go well. I mean, I had to fight one. It was the last round. I got knocked down. I got up. I was ready to continue. The guy pretty much just kind of tripped me and pushed me over to get another knockdown after that. It should have just been ruled a slip, but the referee treated it like a real knockdown, and I guess because it was two knockdowns, he decided to stop the fight. But had they gone to the cards, I would have won.
Oh, wow, that sucks. Was that an NFL replacement ref or what?
I don't know. He's just not a good ref.
Right. Now, how about, let's go to this weekend, man. What were some of the fights that you liked this weekend or how about a fight that stood out this weekend to you?
There were a lot of pretty good fights this weekend. The one that stood out to me the most, a personal favorite of mine, was the WBC Light Flyweight Championship. It was a rematch between Adrian Hernandez and reigning champion Kompoyak Porpromuk from Thailand. And it was a reversal of what happened in the first fight. you know, this time, you know, Hernandez won by knockout, I believe in the sixth round. He was just too strong, I thought, for Porvermook. Porvermook, in the first fight with Hernandez, you know, the opposite scenario, like, he appeared to be too strong for Hernandez. But I guess something, he lost something in that first fight, because his next defense, I think the guy was Jonathan Tekonin. It was a really questionable outing. A lot of people thought he deserved to lose. I think it was a technical decision in his favor for him. So, I mean, even though he's not as good as he was, he gives you everything he has. You know, he never stops punching. You know, both these guys are all offense. You know, the defense was next to nil in the fight. And why I liked it the most is because even though, I guess it wasn't, you know, a really close fight, because I think Porvermook only won the first round, and he was knocked down in the third and finished off in the sixth. It's one of those fights where there's no pauses. Like, there's no lulls in action. Like, from the beginning of the round to the end of the round, they're hitting each other, and that's for every single round. That's a big factor in making a fight of the year type fight for me. Like, no lulls in action, constant banging.
Now, speaking of no pause in action and everything, we were just talking about it right now. So, do you think that Mike Alvarado and Brandon Rios has a chance to be a fight of the year type fight?
Yeah, it definitely has a chance. I like to fight a lot. It's one of those things where, you know, it's too good to be true almost. You know, it's like you hype. You know, the ones where you really expect them to be great, they have a tendency to let you down so much, you know, just because of all the hype around it. It's like the fighters, they tend to do better when they aren't expected to do that well. You know, so I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to, like, you know, put on, like, the next Corrales Castillo. And, yeah, you know, their trainers are probably going to tell them, you know, get all that nonsense out of your head. You know, we're just going to go in here. We're going to get this W, you know, the right way. So one of them, or maybe both of them, might do more boxing than you expect. And it might not be the war we're expecting it to be. But, you know, I'm hoping it is. I just, you know, when you get your hopes up for fights, you know, just disappointment comes.
Definitely. Now, So let everyone know, first of all, where they can find your videos at, because I know earlier, if you're listening, I think I butchered the hell out of your website, man. So go ahead and let everyone know where they can find all the videos at, man. You have everything pretty much that you can get your hands on, so go ahead.
It's sweetboxingvideos.wordpress.com, or you can just put in sweetboxingvideos.com. I didn't buy the domain, but apparently WordPress reserved it for me. So now that works. I mean, I do get a lot of people to visit my site, so I guess they hook me up.
Nice. Congratulations, man. Hey, see, when we started the boxing fix, we started having you on, and you made the site, and it came out great, man. Good to hear, man. Anything else you want to say before I let you go and tell you everyone where they can find you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, they can find me on Twitter at SweetBoxer. And, yeah, there was a whole bunch of fights this weekend. So, yeah, you definitely want to check my site to see them all. And there's plenty that I don't have, which I'll probably get later, you know. So, you know, check it periodically throughout the week. You know, I don't always get stuff, you know, the day or the day after it happens. So I usually get, you know, the major stuff, you know, either that day, that night, the next day. But, you know, some of the minor stuff that, you know, gets overlooked, which is some of it's really good. You know, you might have to check back in a week or 2 weeks. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, a couple months, you know, for them South African fights that nobody gets their hands on or something.
Now, and one more thing, I want to ask you this, because I was on your site earlier. I don't know if I saw it or if I missed it or what, but do you have we were talking about him just a second ago, the Hugo Centeno fight?
No, I haven't seen that fight. Okay, so what card was that on?
That was on the Sacramento card. Who were we just talking about a second ago? It's the one with Linares on the card.
Ah, right. Fox, of course, they only showed the two main events. You know, they showed let's see, what's the name? Yeah, they showed the Yoshihiro Tommy guy fight, and they showed, you know, the Linares fight. But I didn't see any other fights on that card.
All right, cool. Well, if you ever come across the fight, let me know. I wanted to check that out. But thanks, man. Like always, coming on, man. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on and get all these videos out to everyone, man. You do a great thing for all the boxing addicts out there because you're 24/7 on the grind. I swear, I think you're a computer, dude. All right,
yeah,
man. Nice to have you on. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
Anyway.
That was cool.
Ryan Bivens.
Yeah.
That's Ryan Bivens, man. He's a machine. I'm telling you, this guy is like 24/7 on. You know, it's funny. I envision him in a room just full of like different, all these different monitors and screens and TVs, and he's on a chair that circulates, and he's getting all these videos. I mean, that's how I imagine him. Like, he has all these videos. It's amazing, and it's a good thing for boxing. You know, just for boxing, I think that's a good thing because it gets.
I know.
Because
you know, like last night, like Friday night, I had to go to this weigh-in. Saturday night, I had to go to the fight, so I knew I was missing stuff. But it's just kind of cool because you get an email to you, so you know you're not going to really worry about it. You'll be able to watch it because he's pulling everything up. And I'll tell you what, man, I think he saved a lot of assets for, you know, fights that we miss and stuff that we get to check it out, you know, and watch it. So I don't know how he does it. I don't even know when this guy could possibly even sleep.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's a machine. He closes one eye, that eye will sleep while the other eye is working. Closes the other eye, and that's how he gets to sleep. He alternates eyes. So something. He's got, you know, shout out to Sweet Boxing, man. I'm just joking around calling you a machine, but you are a machine indeed, man. You're working hard. But by the way, he has saved me too because this fight's like I don't get the channel for. Because Dish Network is a horrible cable company, and you know, so it kind of sucks sometimes. So I go ahead and find it on his side, and that saves my ass. Ron, right. Now, Ron, we're gonna go and talk about some stuff from last week since I didn't have the show last week. Me and Emily didn't do the show, and I know you watched the fight from last week, and. I need to eat crow. I need to, you know, eat my words. On your show, in your and Tony's show, to Punches and Bunches, I said that Victor Chinian was going to get probably knocked out by Orlandito Valle. And it was no disrespect, like I said to Vic. I like Vic. But I just thought maybe his time is done. It's time to put on the gold watch. I think I said gold watch, a cigar, and a little small hat, and throw him the retirement party. Goddamn. He put on a performance. You know, I feel bad for Dubai, you know, because they kind of threw him into a shark tank. Like, this one thing, I don't know why I didn't even think about it. I think I just wasn't really paying attention, or I really just gave up on Vic. But Vic is such an awkward fighter. He makes any fight with anyone pretty difficult. I mean, you look at his resume, fought Abner Martins and lost in a tough fight. I mean, some think Vic won. He lost to Donaire by knockout. But I'll go ahead and say he didn't take that fight serious. And, you know,
right.
Yeah, and then against Osamu Moreno, Moreno's just a fast, slick fighter. Moreno's the best fight Abner. He's losing to top-quality fighters. But for some reason, I wanted to write him off, and I'm writing myself off as I don't know anything about Victor Chinian anymore because he surprised the hell out of me. That was a good fight, though. I saw a lot of people complaining. I thought it was good. What was your take on that fight?
I like it. I thought it was a good fight too. I actually thought
I thought the score was a little bit closer than when it came out, but I was pretty entertained with it. And I thought that, God, you know, I thought I went with you on also on that same. I think I took the same prediction on that. I thought I did. I don't know. Maybe it was that other one we were talking about. But nonetheless, I liked it. I thought it was a pretty entertaining fight.
What do you think? There's different. Let's see, how can I say it? There's different kinds of, you know, losses in a person's career, you know, like, you know, you can get battered and not get knocked out, but that might be the worst loss for you and damage you for the rest of your career, you know? You can take it, it could have been a close loss. This is Duvalier's first loss. I wouldn't say, as many people said he was battered, and he wasn't battered. I think it was more of a learning experience for him. I think it was like, it almost was like Victor Chinian put a little baby on his lap and spanked the shit out of him and said, hey, you got to do this shit right next time. You know? And what do you think this does to Duvalier's career? Do you think, I think he's still a talented young kid too. So I don't think this really is a big setback. It's just more so a learning experience. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I think sometimes a loss is kind of like a maybe a win because, you know, now he's got that loss out of the way and pretty much just schooled him. But, you know, we always talk about the way because he's just a southpaw and he's just like crazy, you know. But, I mean, shit, he's got like a buttload of wins and everything. So, you know, for Duvalier, I would look at this more like you said, like a learning experience. And I don't think this loss is going to be like a career ending thing for him. I think it's good sometimes to lose. Now you know how to lose.
Definitely. And losing can be a very winning experience, you know? So definitely think that we'll see more of Duvalier in the future. How about Derek Chinian? What do you think about this win for him? I think it's a huge win. Well, obviously it's a huge win. And what do you think? What do you think about this for him? Where does it go from here? Do you think he should start getting these going back after the 120? What is it? I think there's 122, if I'm not mistaken. Those guys at that division or what?
I would. While you're riding a roll there, because I think he had a shit. He had those two losses before this one, so I definitely would, because I think it was like a nice boost to his confidence. And like I said, man, you just never know what you're going to get in the ring when this guy comes in, because if his southpaw style like that, it's just hilarious. I love it. I love watching this guy fight. But I would definitely stay in there in that division and tear it up, or at least try.
Yeah.
But he's getting up there in age too, though. Isn't he like 35 or something, or something like that? I know he's mid-30s.
Yeah, he's up. Not only is he up there in age, he's up there in total fights. I mean, you know, it's like almost like you could call it like dog years. You know, you could be he's not a young 30, whatever he is. I'm going to pull it up right now and see exactly how old he is. But, you know, he's 36 years old. I mean, that's already old as it is, but how many fights total does he have? It's 44 fights. You know, in 44, a lot of them are brutal fights. I mean, you look at it, before Duvalier, he fought over in Tokyo and lost by decision. Then he lost to Osamu Moreno by decision. I was there for that fight. And, you know, he just couldn't handle Moreno's style. You know, talk about an awkward style. You know, we already think that Chinian has an awkward style. And Moreno threw a monkey wrench at him, and he was confused, you know. Then he had the fight with Yanni Perez. That only lasted 5 rounds. You know, that fight got stopped by the headbutt. But then the great fight with Abner Matos, I thought was a hell of a fight. It was the decision loss. Then we know he got knocked the hell out by Donaire. Oh, I even forgot he has the loss to Joseph Invico, too. You know, like, look, he's fought tough guys. He's fought Christian Mijares. He knocked out Christian Mijares in at the Home Depot Center. You know, so he's fought some hard fights, you know, and that 36-year-old is starting to look more like 46 and 56, you know?
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Watching him. I like watching his style because you just never know what you're going to get with this guy. And
he just goes to town. I've always liked all of his fights, especially with the, when he fought Abner, man. I love that fight. That was one of the most entertaining fights I've seen, man. I loved it.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. And I'm a fan of Abner Martinez. I really like Abner's fight, the way he fights. I'm one of the people that thinks he could beat Donaire and take the crown from him. But that was a tough fight. He had problems. Abner had a lot of problems with D'Arcini in that fight, and many think that, you know, D'Arcini got robbed in that. I thought it was a very close fight. He could have gone either way. So
I'm disappointed either way, but yeah, definitely. That was a great fight.
Yeah, yeah. Now, on the main event of the Boxing After Dark last week, we had Edwin Lavamba Rodriguez against Jason. I shouldn't be fighting top competition because I don't even have a mouthpiece, Escalera. Man, I picked Escalera last week or the other week only because I thought he could put a lot of pressure on Lavamba, but instead it was the complete opposite from the get-go. Man, that was a good fight for Lavamba. What do you think about this kid? Do you think he is the real deal now after that kind of performance you put on?
I think you're right. And, you know, this is the fight. This is the one that I totally agreed with you on that one. This is it. I remember now. But that was a pretty freaking cool fight, though. I really enjoyed the hell out of that. I mean, Rodriguez, he was pulling it up here. Yeah, 22-0. Yeah, it was a good fight though. I loved it.
Yeah, Jason just, you know, he looked exactly what a lot of people thought, you know, he should not have been in the ring against Edwin. I mean, this kid is 14th, 15th fight. Yeah, he's 13-0 with 12 knockouts, but you look at his resume, you know, they weren't the elite of the elite. He didn't have a mouthpiece, man. He didn't have a customized mouthpiece. Like, he has a regular job, you know. I think he works at a market or something. And I have a thing where if you got a regular job and you're a boxer, that you can, that's not probably the best thing in order for you to become an elite fighter, because you're not fully concentrated, you know, on boxing. And I understand I understand that these guys, a lot of these guys got to work. You know, not all these guys get paid, you know, that Mayweather money team money. You know, like, a lot of these guys have to work. You know, I understand that. But, you know, man, at least have you prepared with proper equipment. And I know those mouthpieces aren't cheap either. But, man, if you're working a job, you can save up some money.
Yeah.
But, you know. You know, but hey, for real, Edwin though, Edwin proved to me that he's got talent. I kept knocking him. I knocked him after the Rosinski fight because I thought Will put it on him for a while.
Yeah.
I knocked him against. I don't know why, but I think I found a way to knock him against Don George. You know, and now I can't find a way to knock him on Jason Escalera. He did his thing. He has a great story with his kid. It was his kid's birthday when he knocked this dude out. What a great birthday present. And he didn't even get touched. Like, if you look at Edwin's face, really, it looked like he looked like he went for like a little quick run. You know? But now, let me ask you this. He called out some names after the fight. He said he called out Cali Pavlik. What do you think about that?
Oh, man. I thought maybe you're just a little bit too excited. I don't know. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. But I guess we'll have to see what's going to happen with him. And what do you think they're going to do with him?
With Edwin?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, well, go ahead. What do you think they're going to do with Edwin?
I think they move him up in competition now. I think he's ready. Like I said, I found a way to knock on him, and now I'm going to be pushing him. I'm trying to get him in there, man. Like, I like to see him against Cali, tell you the truth. I'm not sold on Callie's comeback. I am not sold on Callie's comeback whatsoever. I don't know why. You know, demons might still be haunting him. I don't know. But I really don't think that I'm not sold on the comeback yet, and I really think that it would be a hell of a fight to see him go at it. And, you know, Edwin knows how to move. He can move around. Cali Pavlik doesn't like guys who move around. We saw what happened against Bernard Hopkins.
Exactly.
I think it would be a pretty interesting fight. But I definitely think that they should start moving him up now.
I think so, too, because I think he was pretty much on the cusp, and it's time to move him. But if there's a Pavlik fight or whatever, then, you know, I'd like to see Kelly get a nice little money payday, though, before he retires.
Yeah, and Kelly's still trying to beat around. He's trying to get these other big fights, so I don't think necessarily that fight's going to happen just yet. With Lavonda's promoter is Lou DiBella, if I'm not mistaken, and, you know, maybe Lou can pull some strings, but...
Yeah.
Definitely liked what I heard after that fight, though, in the little interview. He said, I'll fight anybody, you know, and he mentioned names. I love hearing when fighters mention names, and instead of saying, you know, I'm going to let my promoter do their job or whatever, like, you know, even though I'll say this, Lou DiBella, we saw Lou DiBella whisper in his ear and tell him what to say. I'm still okay with that, though. Because at least he said it, you know. It stirs up something. I love it. I love, you know, calling him out. If you want it that bad, you should call him out. I'm going to go back to the interview we had earlier with Abby Hahn. You know, he said he wants the best. He said he can fight the best right now. You know, because he wants to see where he's at. I like that. Because that means you're hungry. I love seeing these hungry fighters, man. And if you're hungry and you keep doing your thing, you let him eat, you know.
Exactly. But, plus, he had such a killer amateur career, too. I don't know if you've ever seen any. I watched some of his amateur videos from way back when, and, man, he was a freaking beast back then.
Right. Exactly. On another fight last week, and we have a little bit of fun talking about this on your show on Punches and Bunches, Alexander Povetkin versus Kasim, I can fight for any title I want, Rockman. Man. What was that?
What did you think of that fight?
Exactly how I thought about it before. I didn't want to watch it.
But you did, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. I did. I was, in fact... Did I watch it? I was in Arizona. I was in Arizona. I watched it live on my laptop while they were filming part of the video because I wasn't needed. So I was like, finally, I get to chill. And I'm watching the fight. And I'm like, damn, I wish I was needed right now. Like, man, I don't even know what to say about this fight other than why is Rockman getting a title shot again and again and again and again?
I think Tony brought up an interesting stat last on the show before this, said that I think this was his 37th title shot. Different 37. Title, too. I think he said that on the show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, man, I that's amazing. That's all I got to say. But, so let's not talk about Rockman. Oh, by the way, I heard Rockman before the fight or whatever in the interview said, win or lose, he's going to retire. So what the hell is that about? If I knew that, I would have already predicted the knockout. He went in there losing from the get-go.
I don't know. I like it. I like watching it. I hate to say it, but I enjoyed. I'm glad it was only a couple of rounds, but I enjoyed it. I kind of fun to watch.
Well, this is why I didn't enjoy it, because what I want to ask you next, because he knocked out Rockman, I think it gave him a false confidence, and now he says he wants the Klitschko brothers already. I mean,
well, then it's going to be a two-round knockout for him on his next fight if he does that.
You know, it's funny. We were talking there just a second ago about the difference between, like, a bad loss and a good loss.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between wins, too. There could be some really good wins and bad wins. This might have been a horrible win for Povetkin. Because now Povetkin thinks that he can knock out anybody, I think. And
to his credit, though, if I was him, yeah, I'm calling out the Klitschko's too, because I'm going to get a hell of a payday, you know, and in boxing, anything can happen. Who knows? Maybe he gets lucky.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not knocking on him for calling out the Klitschko as far as a business standpoint, let's say. But I will say this. If he does think that he has any chance in hell to do what he did to rock into one of the Klitschko brothers, he needs to go back to Teddy Atlas so Teddy Atlas can slap him around because, you know, the Klitschko brothers is going to eat him apart. I like to see Povetkin, though, get in with some of these other big-time elite heavyweights. Even the young guys like Seth Mitchell or Brian Jennings or Chris Areola or the guy who I'm big up on, who I'm really up on, is, even though I'm going to butcher his name, Magomed. I like him. He's like knockout city. He just knocks out everybody right now. And even in his last fight, he got knocked down, and he ended up getting right up and knocked out his opponent. So I think that would be good if people can do that. I don't know about going for the Klitschko's right now. What do you think?
I think if he went for the Klitschko's right now, it would be disastrous. So I would definitely do like a, like you said, like a Seth Mitchell or a Chris Areola or something, and it maybe work your way up a little bit. I think if he did Klitschko, it would be a disaster. There's no way. There's just no way you could hang with him.
Is there any way we can just strip the titles from the Klitschko's just for the hell of it?
Man, just so we can get
new champions in there.
I know, that'd be kind of nice, man. Again, I think the only way that's going to ever happen, though, is that you have to talk to their mom, because she said that she would, you know, they made a promise to their mom that they would never fight each other. But, man, I sure would love to see that. I'd love to see both of them going at it.
I would, too. I really think that would do huge pay-per-view numbers. I think it's great. You know, besides in Europe, I think it would actually cross over to out here. They could, like, have the fight out here, and it'd be huge, you know what I mean? Like, even though Americans, we all say we hate the Klitschko's, we hate watching them because they're not exciting or whatever. But deep down inside every boxing head, every boxing addict, there's a little Klitschko love in there, I'm telling you. A little bit of Klitschko love in everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I like them. I really do, because they got a hell of a story anyway in personal life and all that anyway, but I've always liked them, but I wish they would fight over here. I wish, I don't know. I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. I definitely wish that too, like, to see more of them, but, you know, they're smart. They know where their money is at, you know. You know, that's where they got to do it, you know, so that's good. Because I think if they fought guys like I forgot who he fought the name, the last Klitschko. But let's say, you know, they came out here and had that fight out here. That fight wouldn't do probably half of what it did over in Germany or wherever it was at, especially against a nobody, you know, that no one knows about.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I understand why not. But
I'd love to see him fight over here, but just so I could, because I would definitely go to that, man. I don't care how much money it cost me. I would want to witness something like that live.
Right. Now, normally, Ron, we usually do at the end, towards the end of the show, we do a rant and rave. I'm gonna do a little something different because there's a few headlines in the new in the boxing world, and I wanted to talk about that. Kind of, even one of them is a rant on it, but we can do that. And then first, though, I want to give a shot. I have to do this. I promised Emily that, you know, I'll mention this, and I already did twice, but I finally got their opponent's name. I already said Jose Benavidez. Now, Trevor McCombie, who I said earlier, I'm a fan of his. Young kid. He has a great story. You guys, anyone listening, can go check out the archive. We had Trevor McCombie on the show, and a great story. You know, he's a beast. If you guys look at him, this guy's like just chiseled. Like, this guy's chiseled to knock out people. 6-0, 6 knockouts. He's fighting a guy named Alicio Durazo, 5-3. He has a record of 5-3. It's also at the Home Depot Center. I think everyone needs to watch out for Trevor. We talked about Benavidez, and Benavidez gets a lot of
a lot of talk all the time. We all know that. He gets a lot of great publicity and everything. But Trevor, I don't think a lot of people know about him. I don't know what you think about him, Ron, but I really like this kid. I think he's talented.
I do, too. He's a chiseled, well-disciplined kid. He's from Arizona, or I lived out here in Arizona. His mom was in Glendale, I think. But he's just a nice kid. I mean, just a really nice kid. And, yeah, I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with once he really gets out there and, you know, he starts getting some more fights and stuff. And I thought this was great because this is fighting on this card that he fought on that one card. And I think it was at Texas Station on that, I don't want to say it's the top one, when they did that double Friday and Saturday night thing. And that, you know, it's just great exposure for him. But this kid, man, is like he's just a beast, man. He's tough. He's a good-looking kid, too, on top of that. He's got all these women following and all that. But he's definitely a great
kid. That's my thing. I was going to add that. And he's a good-looking kid. He's very marketable if you're a top rank. You know, he's got a great story. I know I'm probably mixing it up with another fighter, but I think his dad, he was a military kid, or his dad was, or something like that. You said that he's very disciplined. He has a good story. His dad used to train, not anymore, though. You know, it's just he has everything in the making to become a superstar at top rank, and I think that he will be if he continues to do what he does. And, I mean, you know, this show, you know, we try to make this show mostly about, you know, these undercards, and that's why I want to get – I love having, like, people like we had earlier, the Han Dynasty on, and you know, these up-and-coming kids, because these people need to get – people need to know about them. And people may say, well, you know, Josh, talking about this guy like he's fought a lot. I was like, but no, he's only fought six fights. I think he's only fought 10 rounds. But he's talented. And you could see where the talent level is at, where he can even improve. And, you know, people just need to keep their eye out for him. So, enough of that. That top rank card next week is going to be a hell of a card, period. Top to bottom, I don't care. Nonito Bunair, Nishioka, it's going to be it should be a solid fight as well. And I think it might get overshadowed by all the other fights on the undercard. So, good job for top rank. I applaud them for a hell of a card from top to bottom.
Definitely. Cannot argue with that.
And that's what's good. I love cards like that. I hate when the undercards are just so mediocre or like, you know, just, I don't want to watch it, you know. But
every single fight on there you want to watch all of them. There's not one bad fight on there.
Exactly. And that's how all these cards need to be. We already talked about Alvarado Rios. I said who I wanted. You know, who did you think was going to win? Who's going to pull through for that fight?
I'm going with Alvarado also. I just think he's going to, I think he just got, you know, I think he just brings the game. Plus, I like him because, you know, he didn't say a whole lot. Like, he's not going to say, "Oh, I'm going to go for the knockout and all that." And I'm a big Brandon Rios fan. Don't get me wrong, but I just think I just think Mike Alvarado is going to pull this out. And I don't think it's going to be a knockout, but I think it's definitely going to go the distance and all that. But I just think Mike Alvarado is going to bring too much skill to the ring and. And, you know, not necessarily light him up, but I think it's just going to be a good bout all the way around. But I'm definitely going for Alvarado.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that – I think it's going to be a knockout, personally, or TKO. It's going to get stopped. But one thing about Alvarado I noticed, too, he left his family to go train out here in California. He left Colorado, so – that just shows me he's determined for this fight. He's working really, really hard, you know. And
he was talking about in that conference call that he came down from Denver just to get away from everything and just focus for this fight specifically. And I respect that. I think just like you said, he's just really focused. And he's it's all about sacrifice and everything. And he's definitely not taking this fight lightly at all. And that's what I like about him. He knows what he's up against. And I'm hyped about this fight.
Yeah, definitely hyped on it. I can't wait for this card. Even if even being there, I will have it on DVR and watch it again when I get home. I'll watch it the next day too. You know, it's gonna, and I'm excited to talk about it. And this is my favorite part about this show. The show is, you know, we concentrate a lot on the undercard. I love that Alvarado and Rios is the undercard. I can spend a lot of time talking about it. That's the main event in itself.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely excited. Such a great fight. But now this is where I wanted to talk about for a little bit. We mentioned it earlier. I told you we were going to talk about this. Mr. Kevin Ferguson. This guy, Kevin Ferguson, is known, also known as Kimbo Slice. Oh, man. Him, I heard talked about him and Roy Jones Jr. He said this. He even said that this fight was like a tune-up fight for him and Roy Jones Jr. What do you think? Yeah. Why? Hey, you know, forget the fact that we don't want to see Roy Jones fight anymore. Let's just say, you know, let's throw that out the window. The fact that Campbell Slice, who, let me give you his amazing record, okay? And this is professional boxing record, not MMA and not street fighting. He's 6-0, 5 wins by knockout. His opponent's combined record is, I'm really good at math, let's see, 10 wins, carry the 1, 9, 12, 10 and 13 is his opponent's career record if you add them all up. 10 wins, 13 losses. So, yeah. Do you think this is just like a... kind of like a publicity thing, you think? Or what do you think? Like, I don't know if it's fully true. I heard Emily brought it up a couple of weeks ago. I saw certain people talk about it. Do you think, first of all, do you think Roy Jones has a chance against Kimbo, though, at heavyweight?
You know, I don't know. Kimbo Slice to me looks like a mean son of a buck anyways. I mean, he looks like a beast. And,
right.
You know, Roy Jones Jr., you know, I don't know if he can pull it off or not. I'm just kind of torn between it. I don't know which way to go on it. And I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't think the fight's going to happen. If I'm Roy Jones Jr., and if Roy Jones Jr. takes this fight, I think it tarnishes his career.
Yeah.
Win or lose, why are you fighting a I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of Kimbo as far as a boxing-wise. I think it's all a gimmick. I mean, you know, they're trying to make him be the new Mike Tyson of the heavyweight division. We all know he's not going to live up to that. We all know that he's fighting overweight heavyweights that shouldn't be in there. The guy he fought last night, go on the Sweet Boxing video. He has the video up there. He fought a guy that was out of shape, completely out of shape. He looked if you remember, did you ever watch UFC before? Like the old UFC?
Yeah, the old ones when Dan Severn and Dan Frye.
Yeah,
he
kind of reminded me of Tank Abbott with this gut. You know, Tank had a little belly. His opponent looked just like that. And Kimbo came in, didn't throw one punch, just waiting. And he came in and reared back. And I'm talking about he wound up this left hook and landed the body shot, and the guy took a knee. And I granted, that body shot hurt me, but come on, you see a guy wind up like that much, you're going to get out the way. You don't just stand there, you know? He's fighting bums. And it's almost like if Roy Jones was to take this fight, I think it's a circus act. But
I went back. Did you ever go back and look at some of those old videos, to see old street videos, the street fights and everything they had? It's freaking hilarious, man. It just goes to show you that in this day and age of the internet, man, anybody can be anything now. It's amazing.
Yeah. I used to watch him on the internet, man, and he's crazy. You know, like, I mean, you know, they say you shouldn't fear anybody or whatever. Well, I mean, he's not a guy I'm going to say, hey, you want to take it outside? He's going to be the guy that I want to talk it out, you know, and try to resolve the issue. Like, hey, I'm sorry, bro. Can I buy you a beer? You know, like, and I'm a big guy, but that's Kimbo Slice. Like, his knuckles are bigger than my head, you know? And he, he used to play. He has an interesting story too, because if I'm not mistaken, he played college ball and was going to go to Miami University, and he and like some athletes, he got someone pregnant and had to take responsibility, and he lived out of his car, you know, and then he got hooked up with some porn company and all this stuff. So he has a pretty interesting story, but there's no way he can just pick up boxing like that. Like, street fighting is different from boxing.
Yeah.
You know. I'll tell you this though, I'll leave it like this. If this fight happens, I hope Roy Jones beats the living hell out of Kimbo and makes Kimbo realize that, damn, I shouldn't be doing this.
I would definitely go for Roy Jones on this. I've always been a big Roy Jones fan anyways, but I don't like to see him fight. But the only thing that worries me is, you know, with Roy Jones having, like, all those concussions and stuff, I mean, Akimbo gets in there and gets and, you know, because I think Roy Jones is, like, definitely pushing the limits with even still fighting. I don't agree with him fighting because I have the utmost respect for him as a boxer, and he had a great career. And I don't know. I don't want to see him do it, but I guess, you know, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, even though I hope Roy Jones will win, I think one shot, it doesn't even have to be solid. Just the power of Kimbo's punches can hurt Roy Jones. I can see Roy Jones actually blocking it, and it was so powerful that he gets knocked out still, you know? Roy Jones, one concussion away from not understanding every word he says. I already can't understand half the things he says on HBO, but he's a concussion away from me not understanding everything. So he needs to be smart about what he does the rest of his career. And I just want to know, why is he fighting? He has a job as a telecast, telecasting the fights, as a commentator. Why is he fighting?
I don't get it. I've been trying to track him down because I really wanted to ask him why. I mean, I understand. I mean, I can't say because I'm not a boxer, but how do you know when to call it quits? But come on, you've conquered everything. You're just Hall of Famer, everything. Why would you want to go jump in the ring with some crazy bohemian, you know, and get your ass lit?
True. Before we close up the show, because we're about to wrap it up, I just wanted to, one more thing. Amir Khan and Carlos Molina at the LA Sports Arena, bringing boxing back to the grandest stadium of them all, LA Sports Arena. Last time I went to the Sports Arena, they had a convention full of I'm not even going to go there. It's really okay. Anyways, what do you think about this fight, Khan and Carlos Molina? Real quick thought.
You know, I haven't given it much thought yet, but I don't know. I think Amir Khan's at a crossroads right now. I mean, if something happens or if he loses this fight, I don't know. You know, what's really going to happen with him? It's switching trainers, you know, and not no more Freddie Roach and all that. And, you know, I think he's at a crossroads where this is going to really affect his career if should he lose.
I said this when Khan lost to Garcia, the Garcia fight, and I'm going to stand by this. Now, although I think he has a chance to beat Molina also has a very live chance to beat him. I hope that Molina beats Khan because I want to see this fight, and this is going to be the super fight. And I'm not even joking. I really want to see this fight. Amir Khan, Victor Ortiz. I can promote the hell of this fight. I mean, it'd be like the chin versus the mind or something like that. I mean, who's going to break first? The mental stability of Victor Ortiz or the chin of both of them, actually. You know, like, I mean, that fight, no, really, though, that would be a hell of a fight to see. Because I think both fighters, like you said, I think Khan's at a crossroads, and I think Ortiz is, too. He's actually in the same boat, if you think about it. They both love the trainers going somewhere else. You know, they're both coming off of what you could say are upset losses, because I don't think a lot of people thought Garcia had a chance, and we all know that Josecito Lopez shocked the world. So I think that would be a hell of a fight. But I know Golden Boy really wants to stay away from that, I think.
No, I bet, man. But you're right, man. That'd be one hell of a fight. That'd be some huge numbers. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I think, and I really believe, like, something will break in this fight, like, whether it's Ortiz or Khan's chin. Like,
yeah.
Someone's getting hurt, you know?
No.
But,
you know, just out of curiosity, when your jaw's broken, how long does it take to really, or does it ever really heal? But how long does it really take, you know? I was going to research that, actually.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure it depends on how bad the break is, you know, whether it's a fracture or a total break, you know. I mean, Ortiz looked, even on September 15th, when he was at the Canelo fight or whatever, even his cheeks, he still looks swollen. So I don't think, I don't know how, if it's even fully healed yet for him, because, like, it still looked like he had I call him the chipmunk syndrome, you know, he looked like he had a chipmunk cheek. So I don't think it's fully even healed yet, but, man, I'm sure it's got to hurt you, man, to get hit in a jaw that was already broken, you know? I just can't.
Wow.
That's big up, man. Boxers take some pain. That's why I love the sport, man, you know?
Definitely.
And
that's what you're right. It would be a good fight. I'd love to see that.
Right. Now, we're going to close the show, Ron. First of all, I appreciate for you filling in for Emily. It's always great talking boxing with another fellow boxing addict. And, man, it's great. You helped me out and made me get through the show. You know, tell everyone where they can find you at, man, whether it be on, you know, your writings, the shows, Twitter, or Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter, Ron at Ringside. And I write for examiner.com, do some stuff for Seconds Out. And I just mainly try to cover Arizona, but I do a lot of, you know, national stuff too. But I just want to say thanks for having me on. And I was doing it as a favor for Emily because she does so much stuff for all of us writers out here in Arizona. And she's like the go-to girl for everything. And, you know, when she needed some help, I said, hey, I bet you would, knowing it was with you and everything. I said, yeah, man, I'm on it. I'll definitely do it. But, yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I really had a blast. I really like your insight on it, everything.
Yeah, and this was fun. Thanks for getting those Jennifer and Abby, and shout out to them for coming on the show. That was a fun interview. I had a great time with them. And, man, for everyone listening, thank you. Make sure you catch us next week. We'll be on one more time Monday, Noche de Boxeo, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 Eastern. Thursdays, Leaving in the Ring Radio with your host, Dave Gwynnes, and the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. Always great to hear those guys talk boxing, 3 hours of boxing talk. And get your Undisputed Fight magazine at UndisputedFightMag.com. And also thank you to the man behind the switchboards, the producer, the mysterious David Chan. Always doing a hell of a job. He is the man. And for myself, and even for Emily, shout out to Emily Pandalak, who's the PR superstar. We'll catch you next week. We'll be back on same time, same place. More boxing talk for you, boxing addicts. And we're out. You guys have a great end of the weekend. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.